coming weeks, mostly spoken by Donald Trump, telling us what a loser he is. And David Beckham gets a walk-on part in the war without even getting a new tattoo for the occasion. His skin is full up. That and more with me, Nick Abbott, after the new news at 10 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. The Prime Minister has told Saudi Arabia the UK stands ready to support its defence should the need arise as the conflict between the US, Israel and Iran continues. He's been talking to the country's de facto leader, Mohammed bin Salman. Downing Street also says he and Keir Starmer discussed increasing cooperation on intelligence. NATO's former spokesperson, Mark Leahy, has been telling LBC Tehran can easily create havoc in the Middle East.
If the Iranians just want to keep going, how much do they need to fire to keep the place destabilized? Mm. So suppose you take out 90% of their missiles. Well, they really only need to fire one a day to keep airports closed. And in the Strait of Hormuz, they don't even need that. They just need to lay some sea mines.
The Kremlin says Vladimir Putin and the president of Iran have agreed to maintain contact between the two nations. The announcement is the first public confirmation they're both talking nearly 7 days after the US-Israeli military campaign began. The conservative leader is expected to accuse the government of playing student politics while the rest of the world rearms. Kemi Badenoch is due to give a speech tomorrow, making a renewed tack on Labour's response to the Iran war. LBC's Jonathan Ray has more.
Mrs. Badenoch will say Sir Keir Starmer is still sitting on the fence over what Britain's role in the war should be, but she'll also warn the UK is involved, whether he likes it or not. The Tory leader's expected to claim the Prime Minister is scared of upsetting some Labour voters. One part of her speech includes the phrase, "I never thought I would see the day when Britain's allies felt they could not rely on us."
Four men have been arrested in London on the suspicion of spying for Iran. They're being held for questioning about the surveillance of locations and individuals linked to the Jewish community. And in sport and in tennis this evening, Emma Raducanu has made a winning start to her campaign at Indian Wells. The British number one is now through to the third round. She got a straight sets victory over Anastasia Zakharova. In the city, the FTSE 100 closed down 129 points at 10.284. The pound will buy $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, dry but breezy for northern areas with a chance of frost. Mild with more cloud across England and Wales, and there could also be some patchy rain and fog. We'll see a low of around 1 degree. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
What the hell is going on?
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective. So the only way he figures that he's going to get reelected, and as sure as you're sitting there, is to start a war with Iran.
Good to know, Donnie. Thanks for the update, mate. Here is the LBC News at 10 o'clock. And now the weather. Hot gobbets of radioactive material will rain down and nuclear fallout is expected to accumulate here, there and everywhere, baby. There'll be 1,000-mile-an-hour winds and temperatures expected to top 1,000,000 degrees centigrade. Missiles expected and drones will accumulate over high ground and low ground. It doesn't really matter what type of ground you're on, they're going to get you anyway. Or it might be fine and pleasant and all over by tea time tomorrow. In other news, a cloud of Saharan dust is expected to coat cars and other outdoor services across the UK, and I've just washed my car.
Damn it!
A mixture of sand and dust, which makes up the plume, is being carried from the desert area in North Africa and is expected in the UK's atmosphere over the next couple of days, when it will be spotted by Nigel Farage while he's sitting on the on the cliffs at Dover. If he can get back in time. It might produce magnificent hazy sunsets.
Yowza.
And despite temperatures soaring across the UK this week, winter is not over yet, as freezing conditions and snow look to be right around the corner for many of us. Snow?
Oh, no.
The same people who predict snow virtually every week without any subsequently falling are doing so again, presumably in the hope that people will freak out and read their website, thereby increasing their ad revenue. They say that we will get snow over the whole country for 8 days in a row. Anybody believe that?
Yes.
Well, you should. I was talking to weather expert John Ketley the other day on my Sunday show, and he said that we are much more likely to get snow at Easter than on Christmas Day. You know, a Jesus birthday. They're saying that snow could fall for 8 days in a row later this month, even as far south as London, which means that driving conditions will become treacherous. And if you must drive, experts say that you should take the precaution of fitting one of those really loud exhaust pipes and turn your stereo up to maximum, because that makes you a better driver. Of course, if you're in a Vauxhall hatchback, you will already be doing this.
Thank you.
Would you like to hear the long-range forecast for the next 4 weeks?
No.
At first, cloudy, rainy, foggy, windy. That's the next 2 weeks. And then that's the first part of the next 2 weeks. The second part of the next 2 weeks, wet in the west, dry in the east. And then, till the end of the month and the first few days of April, rain and strong winds in the south, drier in the north and the northwest.
What?
What? I know. And then towards the end of March, below average temperatures, and I suppose we're going to have to take it.
Oh, fabulous.
Daryl says, I'm finding award-winning peacemaker Donald Trump a bit of a disappointment. How about you? If anybody wants a good take on how the elite play their war games at the expense of the little people.
The little people.
Not leprechauns. He says, I recommend Roger Waters' 1992 album, Amused to Death. Over 30 years old, yet more relevant than ever.
Rock and roll!
Yeah. Everything's been done under the sun. A walk-on part in the war for a lead role in a cage. I could sit here doing this all night long. Anybody want to hear that?
No.
Paul says, I took my daughter and her boyfriend to see Billy Elliot the musical earlier. His football fan, reform-loving dad is furious because now his lad wants to learn ballet, so we're having to tiptoe around him. Oh, I've been duped. A listener with material.
Oh, no.
Okay, so let's stop jaw-jawing and start war-warring. U.S. Secretary of State, U.S. Secretary of State of War, Pete Kegsbreath,
booze,
warned that the American action against Iran was about to surge dramatically. He said that President Trump will rename Operation Epic Fury as Operation Huge and Tremendous Strong Strength. He said Operation Huge and Tremendous Strong Strength will be very strong and have great strength. And who knows where it'll end? I don't think anybody really knows, but at least he's got people to stop talking about you know who.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Still talking about Jeffrey Epstein. He said, I should do war more often. It's great for making money. Fund managers are writing to their clients, by the way. The richest families in the world, telling them that now would be a great time to buy into bombs and bullets. Or at least the companies that make them. It's all blowing up. Indian defense stocks are up, European defense stocks have surged, American defense stocks are up, and everyone that has a lot of money is making a lot of money. Meanwhile, Israel's military said on Friday morning that it had begun a broad-scale wave of strikes on Tehran, the capital of Iran. Iran fired missile and drone attacks at Kuwait, Qatar, Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, all countries that host U.S. forces. And we're told that that's why all this is happening, because Israel was going to attack Iran. And when the Americans heard that, they thought, well, we better tag along and get in some hits early, because Iran would do exactly that, attack American bases. And that's why we're here. On March the 2nd, the U.S. Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, or Lil Marco, as Donald Trump used to call him, said that the U.S. had launched preemptive strikes against Iran because the U.S. administration knew an Israeli attack was imminent and wanted to prevent automatic Iranian retaliation against American bases. He said intelligence showed Iran had pre-delegated orders to military commanders to strike U.S. assets the moment the regime was attacked by any party. Which seems a bit odd. I mean, Israel attacked Iran, knowing that Iran would attack America, and rather than say, hang on, let's see if we can't talk this out, America joined in too. Whoopee, we're all going to die. And now, after Trump tore up the nuclear proliferation deal, well, that is unusually hard to say. You try it. Nuclear proliferation. If nuclear didn't end with an R, then proliferation wouldn't be as difficult as to say straight after it. I'm a trained professional. Don't you try this at home. After Trump tore up the nuclear proliferation deal that you remember Obak Arama, don't you? Yeah, that's him, yeah. Trump tore up the nuclear proliferation deal that Obak Arama signed with Iran, and, you know, that seemed to be working out fine. The nuclear proliferation deal that Obak Arama signed with Iran, it was working out just fine until Donald Trump came along and tore it up. And now Trump says that he wants everything that was in that old deal just with his signature on, not Obama's. And that's why we're here. But because he's such a baby, now he thinks that the only thing that he will accept as a deal with Iran is their unconditional surrender. And then, apparently, a couple of minutes later, America said, no, that was just Donald Trump kidding. He doesn't mean their unconditional surrender. He just means, well, we don't really know. We're making this stuff up as we go along. Their unconditional surrender, that's what Donald Trump is demanding. Until somebody pulled that phone out of his hand and stopped him tweeting. I mean, I would say that rather guarantees that Iran will continue to fight, don't you think? If their unconditional surrender is the only thing that the Tango Mussolini will accept from Iran, I rather suspect that that means that they're going to continue to fight, as in forever. And the usual suspects who derided Tony Blair for dragging us into an illegal war are furious that Keir Starmer is not dragging us into an illegal war. Try getting your head around that. I mean, wouldn't it be a good idea to have some clue of what a war is for and what would constitute winning it before we blithely join in? Because Trump doesn't seem to know what this war is for or where it's going. First, he wanted the Iranians to give up any idea of having a nuke, and they said, okay. Then he wanted the Iranians to agree to American verification, and they said, okay. Then he wanted them to decommission and put out of use any nuclear material that the Iranians already had, and they said, okay. And Trump said, okay is not good enough, and started the bombing. And now he's talking about regime change, and that it should be Donald Trump himself who decides who the next ruler of Iran should be. All perfectly normal. All perfectly normal for a country that has vast untapped oil reserves.
I like money.
And now we've got the sixth member of the Village People, Keith Kegsbreath, who's excited like a toddler at a birthday party and just can't naming things that go bang. He said, America will show its strong strength like no country ever did before. And that means it's more fighter squadrons, it's more capabilities, it's more defence capabilities, he said, and it's more bomber pulses more frequently, whatever that means. The US Secretary of War said that strikes on Iran will surge dramatically, saying, we have only just begun to fight and fight decisively. If you think you've seen something, just wait. And our measured and boring Prime Minister is looking at these clowns playing war like it's a video game, and he wanted as little of it as possible, for which we should be grateful.
Thank you.
And the usual suspects, the fake patriots in the Union Jack socks, are whining that we should have immediately joined America and Israel's war because, I don't know, it's what we got our sovereignty back for being told who to go to war against and when. Speaking of which, where is Fagash?
I'm a nutcase.
Why, he's hot-footed it to America. Again. To pucker up and see if he can't vapor lock onto Trump's backside. Again. Representing Clacton on the world stage by sucking up to a bright orange maniac 3,000 miles away.
Don't be rude.
What is it with these oily charlatan types that demand that we leave the EU to get our sovereignty back? And say how we can only really be free if we have Donald Trump running Britain as a dictator. I mean, if you have that lot and Pete Hegsbreath, a beery bro from John Belushi's Animal House against you, then you're probably on the right side. Hegseth said, Iran is hoping that we cannot sustain this, which is a really bad miscalculation. Our munitions are full up and our will is ironclad, which is wrong on both counts. Polling suggests that a huge majority of American voters do not want a war with Iran. Even Republican voters don't want a war with Iran. And when the bodies start coming home on the nightly news, that's not going to get any better, is it? So the will is not ironclad. And as for munitions, well, Trump panicked and called in the defense contractors and told them to speed up supply. And he didn't do that because America has plenty of weapons. The US stockpile and that of key allies like Israel and the Gulf nations are dwindling faster than production can replace them. But this clown thinks that macho talk and some laughable attempts at pull-ups and push-ups, like a barroom end-of-the-evening challenge, is going to make the enemy just give up. And he's criticising Keir Starmer for being a grown-up and not wanting to join in a war that doesn't have a stated purpose, and which only Donald Trump and the voices in his head will say whether they've won or not. Hegseth hit at Skier for not allowing the US to launch attacks from British bases from day one. Hegseth also said that Trump would be having a heck of a say in who runs Iran, given the ongoing operation. A heck of a say, you say? Well, that sounds very Venezuela. It would be a coincidence if Iran was to have, let's say, the third biggest oil reserves in the world after Venezuela and Saudi Arabia. In other news, Iran does have the third biggest oil reserves in the world after Venezuela and Saudi Arabia. And Don Donnie wants to decide who runs Iran.
Absolutely.
Because the last time that America did that with the Shah, it all worked out so well. That was in 1953, when to protect our, you guessed it, oil interests, America and us, replaced Iran's democratically elected prime minister with our guy. And it's been peace and harmony ever since. Oh, 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
LBC.
BetMGM was born in Vegas, so just like the Cheltenham Festival, we know a thing or two about entertainment. Every ride, every race, every roar. This is Cheltenham Vegas style. Sign up to BetMGM now. Bet £10 and get £40 in free bets. That's right. Bet £10 and get £40 in free bets. Are you ready for the greatest show on turf? BetMGM. It's showtime.
Minimum stake £10 and customers only. Wagering requirements and conditions apply. 18 plus. Please gamble responsibly.
JP Morgan Personal Investing gives you the clarity to make more informed decisions on your investments, which is great because right now something else just became crystal clear. Your kid just outgrew the kids menu. Now he's ordering a truffle gnocchi. You consider making a don't gnocchi it till you try it joke, but now's not the time. Now's the time to grow his world, one bite at a time. Search JP Morgan Personal Investing. Invest with clarity. Capital at risk.
Right then, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life? Anglers, ramblers, climbers, five-a-siders, surfers, gamers, bikers, hang gliders!
Book clubbers.
Are we up for it? Let's go all in against cancer. All in to help fund life-saving research. Sign up to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event from just $14.99. Search Race for Life. Prices vary by event distance and participant age.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
This guy is sick. There's something wrong with this guy.
Something wrong with this guy. Gary in Anglesey says, people of the UK need to look no further than events of the previous week to see the direction in which Fagash and his bunch of defects would take our country if they had their way. Trump demeaned the loss of over 400 British troops in Afghanistan and threatened us with tariffs a few months ago, and our homegrown right-wing ranters now want us to unquestionably follow his lead. Yeah, because only then will we be free when we're being run as a dictatorship by a foreigner. That makes as much sense to me as anything else I've heard this week.
We've got a few idiots in our party.
Yeah, no doubt. Goring by Sea. Hello, Ash.
Hi, Nick.
Ash.
Hope you're doing well.
Good, thanks.
Do you want to hear a joke?
No.
Farage was talking about this Chagos deal. And he said in January, get ready for this, he said that Starmer risked alienating our most important ally by giving away the Chagos Islands.
Yeah.
He then said, the worst deal in British history.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought it was quite funny.
Oh, that was the joke, was it?
Well, it came from him, not me. I'm just repeating, I'm the messenger.
I certainly am glad that you didn't tell it.
Ba-dums.
Thanks a lot, Ash. 0345-6060-973. Donald Trump backed the UK's deal to hand over the Chagos Islands to Mauritius. Yeah. The US president described the agreement, this is back at the beginning of the month, the beginning of, what month are we in now? The beginning of last month. He described the proposed agreement as the best deal that Keir Starmer could make. This was after he criticised the exact same deal the previous month and was gleefully reported by the right-wing press as having given Keir Starmer a bloody nose about it. You know, because there is nothing that the patriotic right-wing offshore billionaire-owned press love more than a foreign dictator wannabe attacking this country. Only when we are run by a foreign dictator wannabe will we be truly free. This Chagos Island deal would transfer sovereignty of the Indian Ocean Islands to Mauritius, while maintaining control of the Diego Garcia military base on a lease for 99 years at a cost of $47 million, which is a drop in the bucket. So Trump liked it, and then somebody whispered in his ear, now he doesn't like it anymore. I wonder the identity of the person who was whispering in his ear.
I'm a nutcase.
Maybe. Of course, if you've puckered up and vapor-locked onto Donald Trump's backside and you're whispering in his ear, then that is a pretty neat trick if you can pull it off. Nigel Farage has got trick lips. That's just a fact. Trump tore into the deal a few weeks ago, warning that it was a great act of stupidity. This deal, the exact same deal that he loved a couple of weeks before that. First he loves it, then it's a great act of stupidity, an act of total weakness. He claimed the site of the Diego Garcia base was being given away for no reason whatsoever. they tried to explain it to him, but, you know, it just did not compute. Julian Sheffield says, this week my 10-year-old grandson called Trump the reckless carrot. Can it be in your 2026 books if we're at peace by then? No. No, Julie, it can't. And there's no point in trying to, bend my arm by telling me that your grandson is 10 years old. And by that measure, I should, give him everything he blooming well wants. No, Julie. No.
No.
No. You must learn to hear the word no. Let's see now. Fleet, Kirsty.
Oh, good evening, sir. I hope you're well.
Good, thanks.
I'm just getting ready to curl up with my book, listening to your introduction where you always talk about the weather.
Yeah.
And you mentioned April. Mm-hmm. And I was so confused. And I thought, how is it April?
January,
he's talking
February,
about April.
March,
the year. No, but the year's just started.
Yeah, I know. And it's almost over. It's practically Jesus' birthday again.
No, that's... Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let it finish.
Oh, goodness.
There, now.
Nick, I told you last year that you can't keep talking about Jesus' birthday because you make it come quicker.
I think that there's something in that, because when I...
Oh, there is!
When I hear myself give the four-week forecast, it's a month ahead of where we are now, and it's almost as though I am making time speed up. It's April already.
So why do you keep doing it, then?
I'm a very bad talk show host.
Well, anyway, just on another subject, I was listening to one of your podcasts where you started off okay and then you began to cough and you just got sicker and sicker throughout the throat. It's actually quite a funny show. You're okay now, but...
My pain amuses you. I'm here to amuse you. I make you laugh like a clown.
Yes!
Name that film.
Goodfellas, baby.
Bingo.
Anyway, stop talking about the future weather.
Yeah, I...
Please.
Well, you have to talk about the future, you know.
No, you don't. Well, you see, that's where you're wrong.
Hang on a minute. Wait. There's no point in giving you the weather forecast for yesterday.
Yeah, but who wants to hear the weather forecast?
Everybody wants to hear the weather forecast. It is absolutely... You'll ignore everything else on the news because you just can't stand it anymore, and then you'll prick up your ears when that nice person hopes interview and points at the map.
Well, you're so wrong. You're really wrong. But anyway, have a good evening.
Okay, will do. Thanks a lot, Kirsty. Should have asked her what that book was. Maybe it's mine. Dan in Sanderson said, blessed is the abnormal normal show. I think you mean the normal abnormal show, unless you prefer the Sunday show. Blessed is the... This is a normal abnormal show. My Sunday show is the abnormal normal show. Get it, right? Let's see now. Wigan. Hello, Malcolm.
Hello, yeah. I mean, some of the comments you made are very valid criticisms and questions to raise. I mean, for a start, this war began at the same time as Trump was supposedly negotiating in good faith to deal with Iran's so-called nuclear issue.
Well, they had a deal, pretty much. It was all pretty much signed, sealed and delivered, and the Iranians had agreed to pretty much everything that the Americans had asked. Well, as far as I'm aware, they agreed to everything that the Americans had asked. And then the go-between from Oman said he'd never seen a country agree to so much so quickly. And Donald Trump said, not fast enough, and started bombing them.
Yeah, and he did. The point is that... It's Trump that pulled out of the first deal that they had with Iran.
Yeah.
You know, so they're duplicitous politicians generally, as we know, but Trump is proving to be... I mean, look, he's
some are more some are more duplicitous than others. Some are duplicitarer than
experts.
Others.
Yes. Duplicitarer. Look, the key thing is, he promised his base, his MAGA base,
no more
that
wars.
He would not be going into endless wars.
No more wars. He said it's going to be America first.
I'll bring
he's going to put
war.
The emphasis on dealing with America's problems, which is a very good aspiration to have, given that they have such huge problems. But he hasn't done that, has he?
No, he has not. He has
muffed up.
He has famously resisted doing anything of the sort. Yeah, he seems to be obsessed with, obsessed with taking people's minds off you-know-who.
Oh, yes, the Epstein scandal. There's no question that that's fed into it, hasn't it? But it's not worked, because, let's mention it again, the Epstein scandal.
Hey,
well, are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Huh?
Of course. I mean, everyone with... I think there's that film, Wag the Dog, isn't there? I mean, yeah. I don't
know. There is that film, Wag the Dog, yes.
Yeah.
That's just
that
a fact.
It's that kind of thing, isn't it, where a US press takes a country into war to distract from his whatever problems he's got domestically.
Right.
And, I mean, the guy has... He's ratted on his own base, and that isn't wise to do.
On his own base?
The people who supported him, like Tucker Carlson, very disappointed in him. Well, a lot are. I wasn't necessarily completely an opponent. In fact, I thought in many ways Trump did quite well in his first term.
In what respect?
His boast is, and it's true, he did not take America into a major war.
I'm not sure that it is the facts. I think he bombed 8 countries. He claimed to have solved 8 wars. Occasionally, there were wars between countries that he just made up, or countries that had never been at war. Right. Well, I can't remember. I think the number of countries that he bombed was 8.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't
but
it?
But they didn't result in like the
they didn't
invasion
hit
of
back.
Afghanistan or Iraq or Yugoslavia.
I would say that he started a civil war in his own country.
Well, clearly there is problems within the United States, but there always has been, as is the case with every country.
Exactly. It's people. People are the problem.
Well, I mean, in the case of Trump, he is more than just a small problem. He is becoming a rather big one.
Well, that is offensive to the larger boned people. But it's factually accurate. All right, thanks a lot, Malcolm. 0345 6060 973. Alex in Witham says, forgive me, but I'm a little confused. Why is Beelzeblob? All right, that's got to go in there. I'm making a list and I'm checking it twice. Because all of the names that we came up with for Donald Trump are in the book that's just come out. Thank you for your attention to this matter on Kindle. And there's so many that are coming in now that I'm going to have to put another list in the one that's going to come out at the end of the year. Beelzeblob. That's priceless. Beelzeblob, Donny.
Don't be rude.
There is more. Why is Beelzeblob so insistent that we support his war on Iran? After all, I thought we were a random country that hasn't fought a war in 40 years. It's also alarming to see the US military completely go along with this blatantly illegal war. Yeah.
Sir, yes, sir.
0345 6060 973. It's 10:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The Prime Minister's been telling Saudi Arabia the UK stands ready to support its defence should the need arise as the conflict between the US, Israel and Iran continues. He's been talking to the country's de facto leader, Mohammed bin Salman. The Conservative leader is expected to accuse the government of playing student politics while the rest of the world rearms. Kemi Badenoch is due to give a speech tomorrow, making a renewed attack on Labour's response to the Iran war. And the price of stamps will rise again next month. It means the cost of sending a first-class letter will reach £1.80. LBC weather, dry but breezy for northern areas with a chance of frost, milder with more cloud across England and Wales. And there could also be patchy rain and fog with a low of around 1 degree.
This is LBC.
Nobody knows Vegas like BetMGM. And we know just how loud it can get. So sometimes it's important to turn it down or take a break. Because a little pause keeps the fun in play. To find out more about BetMGM's safer gambling tools and how we can support you to keep your play safe, visit the safer gambling area of our app or website. BetMGM. 18 plus, please gamble responsibly.
Chase is the digital bank that gives you 1% cash back on groceries.
So can I get cash back on cake mix?
Indeed.
And icing?
Yep.
And sprinkles?
Sure.
And candles?
Yeah, and you can turn all that cash back into a nice birthday treat.
How do you know it's my birthday?
Just a hunch. Get 1% cash back on groceries, fuel and everyday transport when you spend with Chase. Search Chase Bank. 18 plus UK residents. 1% cash back on this debit card spending for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Eligibility and exceptions apply. May be changed or withdrawn.
Right, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life? Sunday Leaguers! Dog lovers! Bait clubbers! Banker dancers! Baby ravers! Potters! Whether you walk it, jog it, or run it, go all in against cancer. All in to help fund life-saving research. Sign up to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event from just $14.99. Search Race for Life. Prices vary by event distance and participant age.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Nobody knows who the hell he is.
0345 6060 973. Vinny in Leicester says, there were some photos during the week of an unexplained red mark on the back of Donald Trump's neck. But if you look closely, it was probably where Princess Leia where Princess Leia tried to strangle him with a big chain on that desert planet. Talking about Jabba the Gut. Like that. Wow, it was almost as though he'd slithered into the room, isn't it? Martin from Kew says, the eagle has landed, and by eagle I mean a Torres the Crisp milk egg. It is currently waiting for you at Global Radio, ready to rescue from a snackless despair. Oh, really? Well, I haven't seen it. I've had no indication that it's actually here. So I will turn over tome and look into every nook and cranny, especially the crannies. Let's have Tavistock. Hello, Rose.
Hello, Nick.
Rose.
Well, I think there's been a Freudian slip with his choice of the name. Epic.
Epic.
Don't you? Somebody must have said this already. Epstein, Epic.
Right.
It's on his mind.
I gotcha.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Well, there you are. I've got Donald Trump, Churchill and Farage.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's... It's so exasperating, Trump. Well...
That is one way of putting it.
It is. He's such a farcical figure. He's a farcical figure. The Donald of Trump, he's been a bit upset, hasn't he?
He's always upset. He's always whining about something. My God, he's spent his entire life as the luckiest human being that ever lived, and he does nothing but whine.
Yes, well, I think he could do with a bit of being patronised.
He could do with a good...
So that's what I've done.
With a damn good thrashing.
Well, yes, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Blimey. Anyway, he goes, how does he? He goes, I'm not happy. I'm disappointed. Tough.
Mm.
Churchill. Keir's no Churchill.
He's no
Imagine.
Churchill. Well, Donald J. Trump is no Dwight D. Eisenhower either.
No. And just imagine if Churchill had been here instead, listening to that incoherent drivel, he admits. He'd take one look and he'd say, America, you put up this to speak to me? He seems unfamiliar with the English language. How dare he mention Churchill? Churchill wrote a 6-volume history of the Second World War, and he was master of morale-maintaining speeches. We shall never surrender. You think he'd accept demands for obedience from Trump?
That's right. And he's getting nothing but abuse for standing up for just
our
decency
country.
And law and order, for crying out loud.
Yes.
Apart from whether it's right and wrong to take out Iran. But there doesn't seem to be any end game. It's just like, let's lob a few bombs in there, create some chaos, and we can stand back and warm our hands by the fires.
Well, exactly, yes. And, for Trump, just to be further patronising, people like him, Trump, don't even have plans. I mean, they don't. This is what happens. These sorts of people, which is not a phrase I normally use, but in this instance I will, they do what they feel like when they feel like it and hang the consequences.
Like babies. Yes, they are.
They're
governed by their every demand that flits across their brow. I want it. I want, like, Greenland. Oh, I want it so badly. And then something else, the shiny, comes along, and he wants that instead.
Well, it is exactly like that. Yes. Bomb. And we have the best bombs, isn't it?
Yeah, the best and the biggest bombs that anybody has ever seen. Believe me.
Yes, and who knows how many die? You know, who flipping well seems to care how many die?
Nobody's remotely interested.
Well, he says he doesn't care about public opinion. Farage now says he doesn't care about public opinion. He follows his every flipping word. You know, they're eating the dogs, and then it was, in our country.
Yeah.
And then it's, this is what's happening in our country.
That's right.
They're eating the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country.
That's what he said.
Yeah. So then a few months later, Farage says the Romanians are eating the royal... the swans in the royal parks in this country.
In this country. Yeah.
He follows every detail. So why the hell is it a mystery that he and Tice want blind support for America? The White House said loudly it's committed to installing them in Downing Street. Are we not allowed to say that, Nick? Because I hear it on no other show. It's obvious.
It's out there. I mean, Donald Trump has recommended that we be run by... has he actually said Farage's name out loud?
Yeah. Is there another extreme right? Does he want Tommy Robinson in Downing? Who cares? It's our country, not his.
This is why I thought we were persuaded against our interests to leave the European Union in order to get back control. And the people that engineered that want to give control away to a foreigner to run this country from abroad as a dictatorship. It's absolutely crazy what's going on here. But
it just seems to be the thing at the moment, although it's getting a little bit better now with Keir seeming to get some... I don't know whether he's right or wrong. It has to come a point where you back your country.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, what's happening is if we don't come together and back our country, there's no solidity. And yet people seem to think it's the thing to do, Kemi Badenoch, everybody, automatically criticise the government.
Of course.
So we're fragmented and they can just walk in and take us over.
Well, it's not really doing Kemi Badenoch any good because the Tories are even less popular than the Labour Party are at the moment, and they're not even in power. So, you know, whatever she's doing ain't working. All right, thanks a lot, Rose. Cheers, my dear. Yeah, Kemi Badenoch has vowed to bring back the two-child benefit cap and use the savings made to increase defence spending. She's going to rip that bottle of milk out of the mouths of babies and use the money for bombs and bullets. The Tory leader said she would reinstate the limit on the two-child benefit cap to fund the recruitment of more soldiers to boost Britain's military. Which the Tories could have done at any time that they were in power for 14 years straight, but they didn't. And now, apparently, the state of the military is all Keir Starmer's fault.
No!
Thanks a lot, Keir Starmer. You should have taken charge of government spending when you were in opposition. The defence budget dropped by 22% between 2010, when the Tories took power, and 2017. That is in money spent. Over a fifth. Almost a quarter. And that meant fewer personnel and less of the things that go bang. We went from around 200,000 military personnel when the Tories took power, to about 150,000 when Fishy Sunak was invited to leave Downing Street and take his cashmere hoodie collection with him.
This government.
That government. So it's a bit rich for Kemi Badenoch to start acting the supporter of our boys and girls when she is the leader of the party that decimated the military. She now says is so important to her that she would rather babies starve than for it to be underfunded. Of course, she didn't actually say that. I'm exaggerating for comic effect. Because there's nothing funnier than starving babies, right? So, and in removing the two-child benefit allowance, she promised that half of the £3.2 billion savings would go on defence, and the other half would be used to bring down the deficit. £3.2 billion. Half is going to go on defence. This is the money that she would save by removing the two-child benefit allowance. Which seemed to be a pretty popular thing to do. I mean, the country was demanding that Skier do that, and he did it. And now the people on the right, they don't like it anymore, because he did it. So it's going to be £3.2 billion, apparently, in savings by removing the two-child benefit allowance. And that money, half of £3.2 billion would go on defence, and the other half would be used to bring down the deficit, says Kemi Badenoch. But as the deficit is currently $153 billion, I'm not sure that $1.7 billion is going to make much difference to our finances than it would to the finances of a couple struggling to do their patriotic duty and have more babies. We're running out of babies, remember? And one of the reasons is that it's so blooming expensive to have them. We should be encouraging people to have more babies, not making it more difficult. Badenoch says, if we are serious about protecting Britain, then we must be honest that there is a trade-off. The era of endlessly rising welfare bills paid for by a shrinking defence budget should be over. The world has changed and our priorities must change with it. Well, that don't make no sense. It's not either or. She says this funding will help us start to rebuild our military strength, growing the regular army to 80,000 and the reserves to 40,000. The Tories said the money would pay for 6,000 new army soldiers and 14,000 new army reservists, as well as accommodation and equipment, all of which they could have bought when they were in power. But I suppose their hands were tied, what with them only having complete control over what the government spent our money on. And it seems a bit hard to swallow that we can't afford to support our mothers and our military. I mean, as a country, we give the oil giants over £3 billion a year in subsidies. The oil companies. I don't hear her whining about that. In total, fossil fuel support, which includes investment allowances against tax, and us having to decommission the rigs when the oil companies are done extracting all the profits, we poor dopes who pay tax give the richest companies in the world £17.5 billion a year. And Kemi Badenoch has her eye on saving money by taking it from women and their babies. Well, the whole world's gone insane. Badenoch branded the last budget, in which Labour pledged to lift the cap, a budget for benefits street, which is catchy and cute, and really hammers home what is and is not an acceptable way to spend the country's money to their people. Oil companies that make billions in profits should get public money. Women who have just given birth should not. Giving money to those that need it is encouraging the work-shy layabouts. Giving vast sums to corporations that don't need it is just good business sense. Clear?
No.
The UK is committed to spending 3.5% on core defence by 2035. And Skia has pledged to spend 2.5% of GDP on defence by April next year, rising to 3% in the next parliament. He said that we're going to have to spend more and faster after the years of underinvestment and troop cuts. Once again, the Labour Party having to fix the mess left by the Tories while the Tories snipe on the sidelines about what a bad job they're doing of it. It's like a child sets light to their tent and then criticises their dad for not having a hose ready. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Prime Minister might be worried that it's illegal.
Legalities aside, there is a moral duty to act. Ron is a threat to our country.
Hear every side of the story.
International law is what international law is. Do you think this was legal or not?
We are involved in this now. And whether or not our bases should have been used, that's now, that's gone.
Your position is that this action was moral, but you're not convinced, or perhaps you don't much care that it was legal.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
How big's the job? Compact and nimble? That's the Vauxhall combo. A bit of everything? Meet the award-winning Vivaro. Or is it a load-it-all job? That's Movano. Whatever the job, there's a Vauxhall van for it. Right now, during the Vauxhall Pro Days van event, until the 16th of March, you can save £750 off any new Vauxhall van, electric or diesel, on top of all other offers. Search Vauxhall van range. Business users only, 18 plus, £750 excluding VAT. T's and C's apply. Search Vauxhall van range.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper, to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato, and spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah!
With over 50 years' experience, Fidelity can help you feel confidently invested. Make the most of your annual allowances by the 5th of April with our expert insights, excellent service, and wealth of investment options. For ISAs, pensions, or advice, go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
A Thameslink train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to recharge yourself and your phone. To stretch out, sit back, and when you hear "all change, please," you'll know you already have. Go with your flow with great deals at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
This year at Amazon, we're increasing the electric vehicles used for deliveries across Europe to over 10,000. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where babies are made a fuss of, where we deliver footballs for kids' kickabouts, and where they deliver the football straight into next door's garden. Can they have their ball back, please? We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on projected delivery service partner vehicles across the UK and EU by end of 2026.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
I don't believe I've ever met him. I'm pretty sure I didn't meet him, and I just don't know anything about him.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? Sarah from Ramsgate says, "You're a very naughty boy comparing Donald Trump to Jabba the Hutt. What did poor Jabba the Hutt ever..." I may do that all night long. "What did poor Jabba the Hutt ever do to you?" says Sarah. Tony says, "Warning, warning.
Warning, warning.
I got an invite to a Christmas party today."
What?
Wow. We have a first. A Christmas party. It's checks bottom right of the computer to make sure I get it correct. March. January, February, March, yeah. March. Oh, it's almost all month it's going to be March. You believe that? He says, if it gets any earlier, we'll be overlapping Jesus' birthdays. Fortunately for the birthday of fictional characters, we can do what we want. That's not a controversial thing to say, is it?
No.
And Dino in Sheffield says, I need your help for this quiz I'm doing. The question is, you can always tell the clown in the circus by their A, blue rosette, B, green rosette, C, turquoise rosette, and D, red rosette. Isn't turquoise blue? I'm going to go with blue. You can always tell a clown in the circus by their blue rosette, of whatever hue it may be. Regent's Park. Hello, Vance.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
Great, mate.
Good. I'm enjoying the programme as usual. Nick, I've got 3 points to make. Firstly, this fuss over the Chagos Islands.
Yeah.
It started way back in the Tory government. It was a big debate, and then they decided to take it through the courts.
Mm.
And during Rishi Sunak's tenure, the Supreme Court ruled that the Chagos Islands should go back to Madagascar because that was where they were colonised from
right. In
the first place.
Yeah.
So Keir Starmer is simply implementing a decision that was made by the Supreme Court before he even became Prime Minister.
He's just following the law, ma'am.
He's just following the law, that's right. Second point, if I may.
To be clear, I'm not calling you ma'am. it's a reference to the old American TV show. I'm just the facts, ma'am. You know.
Yeah, sure. Secondly, Nick, you know that Trump is calling this latest operation Epic Fury.
Yeah, Epic Fury.
Yeah, I have a theory of where he got that name from.
Go on.
I think he was looking in the mirror as he was shaving one morning.
I think it was from a war video game, wasn't it? Epic Fury. It sounds like something that some drunk bro would have come up with, you know, one of his staffers. Dude, let's call it this.
Yeah, possibly. But he himself is in an epic fury every week about something or other.
About something or other, yeah. Quite often, it's when Melania locks the room to their connecting suites.
I don't care.
She's not that bothered.
Yes, indeed. And I've forgotten what my third point was. Anyway.
Now we'll never know. All right, thanks a lot, Vance. Must make notes. Isaac says, what an intro that Trump recording talking about the president starting a war with Iran to stay relevant. What? What an intro that Trump recording talking about the president starting a war with Iran to stay relevant. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, right. I understand. You mean this?
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective. So the only way he figures that he's going to get reelected, and as sure as you're sitting there, is to start a war with Iran.
Yeah, as sure as I'm sitting here, he's going to start a war with Iran. Yeah. Anyway, there's more. Isaac says, what an intro, that Trump recording talking about the president starting a war with Iran to stay relevant. I had to message you to know when he said it and about which president. Trying to work out how long the US has had this in the works. Yeah, I don't think there's any like long-term strategic planning here. They're just lobbing a few bombs in and seeing what happens. You know, because they've got all this exciting stuff that goes bang, and if they leave it on the shelf too much, then it will be past its explode by date, and they won't be able to use it anymore. He was talking about Obakarama, wasn't he? Can't remember the date. I'm going to say 2013, something like that. Thereabouts. Steve says, Kemi Bad Enoch is warmongering again. And then an emoji with, looking at the ceiling, like rolling their eyes. Rolling their eyes emoji. Hey, kids, stop communicating with pictures. Seriously, try words better. Vancouver in Canada. Hello, Nick.
Oh, hi, Nick.
Nick.
I was
sort of watching them, everybody losing their heads about Britain's inability to send a destroyer to Cyprus to defend Cyprus, I thought to myself, we don't own Cyprus. Why are we defending Cyprus? I say we, the royal we, because I'm still British. And then I looked it up, and it turns out we have an air base in Cyprus. And I thought to myself, well, why do we have an air base in Cyprus?
I think we've got two.
Well, it turns out we have them there because, you know, we need to support all the activities that Britain starts in the Middle East.
Well, that's where all the hot, delicious oil comes from, or a lot of it.
Yeah. As it turns out, since the Second World War, we haven't been so much responsible for that. It's mostly there for America's benefit.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, why do we have an air base in the middle of the ocean, Diogo Garcia, that's going to cost us 20 billion quid a year, or whatever it is? Because, like, that's not protecting Essex or Lancashire, obviously.
I think it's so that we can spy China from there.
Well, yes, because obviously we need to spy on China, we being the United States of America.
Yes.
And it's like, why does... You know, maybe Britain would be able to afford a better army if it didn't have all of these bloody islands all over the place, here and there, all over the world.
Bring the boys back home. Yes. That makes sense to me. Instead of pretending that we're still ruling the waves by having, you know, outposts here, there and everywhere, baby, we can't afford to keep our army going that are stationed in this country. Never mind about, you know, pretending that we're still world police.
But, look, with Diogo Garcia, if Donald Trump doesn't like the deal, why doesn't Britain just give him Diogo Garcia and say, here you go, you look after it.
No.
None of our business. We're out of it.
No, don't start giving him things, because then he'll be forever holding his hand out wanting more. He'll put it in his pocket and say, well, what else have you got?
We could give him the Falklands. That shut the Argentinians up. I don't think they'd invade then, would they?
Yeah, I think that he gets
everything. Give all of the little islands.
He gets on with Milei a little bit too well. I think they swap hairstyling tips, him and Trump.
Well, that might be true, but if he owns the Falklands and Milei wants it, generally when you want to take things from Trump, he doesn't like that.
No, right. But as he's already signed a cheque for something like $50 billion to Milei of Argentina, what's a couple of uninhabited islands? You know, just got some sheep and a couple of ducks. That's all it's there, pretty much.
So, yeah, and apparently oil, which is what they told us in 77, but no one's ever gone there and got any money out of it.
No.
Again, no offence to the good people of the Falklands Islands, but why is Britain keeping them? It doesn't make any sense anymore.
Well, I think we were the last people to bump into it. I think France bumped into it, and maybe Spain bumped into it. We're talking about hundreds of years ago, and they couldn't find any reason to stay. And I think we were the last people to bump into it, and we thought, this is awful. We'll take it. It's apparently been ours ever since. It's about 8,000 miles from here, but to so near Argentina you could spit that far. But apparently it's ours, because, you know, that makes tons of sense. But yeah, they found oil, and they're just waiting for the price of oil to tick up so that it becomes expensive enough for it to be worthwhile getting it out of that difficult area. And set your watch, but it'll be any day now. I mean, the prices at the pumps are already going up. Are the prices at the pumps going up in Canada, Nick?
Yes, they are. They've gone up by about 30 cents in the last 2 days.
Right. which is a con job, because they haven't bought those petrol stations have not bought that petrol. They're still using the same stuff that they got delivered last time at a cheaper price. They're always very, very quick to put the prices up, very, very slow to bring them back down again. But, the leader of Qatar has warned us about oil prices. They're going to start going through the roof. Yeah. Another benefit of being dragged around like a recalcitrant dog by the tangerine nightmare. All right, thanks a lot, Mick. Nick. Not Mick, Nick. Roy in Bermondsey says, did you see Trump or Thinskin sent malaria to represent him at the UN the UN Security Council? I wasn't aware this was an option, but my wife is going to the office for me on Monday. It should all be fine, says Rory. Let's see. Isaac says, oh no, I've read that one. That's about the Trump going on about invading Iran. Malcolm in Bodmin says, already had a fine plume display of my car yesterday here in Cornwall. You report old news. No change there, then. Wow, he's just lashing out wildly. He's furious about something. I don't know what it is. Don't stop picking on me. I haven't got anything to do with it. I ain't done nothing. I'm a good boy. I am. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. The White House appears to be stepping back from President Trump's demands for Iran's unconditional surrender. He made the comments earlier today as the fighting ended its sixth day. LBC's Washington correspondent is Simon Marks.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt told reporters that when President Trump said on social media that he wants Iran's unconditional surrender, that's not exactly what he meant. She claims the president will solely determine the point at which Iran no longer poses a threat to the US and the goal of its ongoing military action, and at that point he will consider Iran to have placed itself in a position of unconditional surrender. He's not, in other words, envisaging any kind of formal surrender like Japan's at the end of World War II, but just Iran's military defeat. Simon Marks, LBC, Washington.
Plans for the creation of an anti-Muslim hostility czar are expected to be announced by the government. The news is contained inside a leaked draft of proposals on social cohesion. It's also being reported the document is warning anti-Semitism has become normalised in many corners of society. It's believed the life support machine of the Soham killer Ian Huntley has been turned off. The 52-year-old was left with severe brain trauma following an attack in prison last month. LBC's Northeast reporter is Phoebe Abradzazi.
According to The Sun, doctors withdrew the life support machine on Friday afternoon after tests showed the murderer was in a vegetative state. Huntley's serving a life sentence with a minimum term of 40 years for the 2002 murders of 10-year-old schoolgirls Holly Wells and Jessica Chapman. He's been the target of previous attacks while behind bars. In 2010, he suffered a serious neck wound after another inmate slashed him with a homemade weapon.
A man's beginning a whole life sentence for murdering his former partner's sister and her three children in West Yorkshire. Shahraz Ali, who's 40, set fire to a house in Bradford where his ex had been living. 23 bereaved parents have urged MPs to support a ban on social media for under-16s. They're due to debate the idea, which is being backed by the Lords on Monday. The group says mothers and fathers cannot regulate billion-dollar technology companies from their kitchen tables. And in sport, Liverpool are into the FA Cup quarter-finals thanks to a 3-1 victory at Wolves. In the Championship, Oxford have claimed a 3-1 win at Preston to climb out of the relegation zone there. LBC weather, dry but breezy for northern areas with a chance of frost overnight, milder with more cloud across England and Wales, and there could be some patchy rain and fog. We'll see a low of around 1 degree. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Hello.
Are you trying to tell me that this is your act?
Yes, at the moment it is, yes. Chris says, Liar Toller has clearly That's quite good. Liar Toller.
Don't be rude.
Liar Toller has clearly lost his mind. I can't wait to see the band appearing, featuring Robirio on drums, Eggs Breath on lead, and Donnie dressed like Keith Flint from The Prodigy. I don't... Right, what's that got to do with him losing his mind? Well, that video of Keith Flint from out of The Prodigy... doing Firestarter, that did look, you know, pretty scary to me. It looked like he'd completely lost his mind to me. Steve says, if the leader of the opposition party thinks they would never see the day when Britain would not automatically back the United States, she obviously hasn't heard about Vietnam. We're going to come in low out of the rising sun.
And about a mile out, we're going to put on the music.
Chris says, Nick, I always forget to get this message in early. The Sopranos will never be beaten. We all know this. But I recently binged Mr. In-Between. It's the closest I've found to date. Only criticism is that it should have been longer. Some homework for you. Is that the thing with that weird-looking guy? Because I tried that and I couldn't take it. It's all about, computers taking over our lives or something. Yeah, that, his message from next door. No, that's Mr. Robot. Yeah, that's right, Mr. Robot. So who's Mr. In-Between? Rami Malek, yeah. That's just one of those people that I can't look at him. You know, and it's got nothing to do with, not being attractive. It's just, I don't know, there's just something about him. I just don't like looking at him. He freaks me out. There's a few people like that. No one comes to mind at the moment. Mr. In-Between. Right, who's in that then? There's a guy who's chewing a match that's on fire as its poster. And it's on FX or Hulu, whatever that is. Mr. In-Between. More messages. A bloke what is called Scott Ryan. You believe the standard of the English language from the people that work on this show? A bloke, what is called Scott Ryan. And then as an attempt at an emoji, which is, it doesn't matter how many closed parentheses you do, that is not turning into an emoji. It just looks like a big mess. Now she's giving me a sad face. Mirtha Tidville, hello, Jeff.
Well, Nick.
Yes.
Marjorie Taylor Greene. What a girl.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the latest tirade she's having.
Which one? I mean, what date is this tirade?
This week. This week.
Okay. She really has come a long way. I mean, she used to be the epicenter of crazy. If you could put a microphone to her ear, you'd hear this going on inside her head. I mean, she's the one that said that the California wildfires were started by Jewish space lasers.
Yep.
Didn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now she's the voice of reason.
Well, she's done worse things than that. But we actually took her off a banning list, and it's the only person we've ever done it. And these tirades that she's having against Trump has entirely endorsed her decision. And all I can say to you is, Nick, that girl has a long way to go. And she, I believe she is sending a shiver around the whole of Congress in the Senate and with all the Republicans in there. Mm. And that shiver is looking for a spine to run up, and it's unsuccessful. They can't find one. Because this Leave It woman, right? Mm. I was checking the records. She hasn't been banned yet. Well, she is now, right? Because she hasn't got a soul. I do not believe that woman has a soul.
A soul?
Have you looked at, whatever is inside you and me, she hasn't got it.
It's mostly gooey ick, I think. I mean, medically speaking, I think that is correct.
Yeah, well, she's soulless. And the other thing that I can't believe that's going on this week, apart from the mayhem that's taking place, is Auburn, the potato, the Mr. Potato Head over in Hungary.
Yeah.
Well, he is now stopping all movement of fuels, oil, things that Ukraine needs. Mm-hmm. If they have to travel across Hungary, he's going to stop them. What a lovely guy. What a nice guy.
There's a word that I haven't heard all week long. Ukraine.
Yep.
That seems to have gone off the books, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, some things haven't even got on the books, like Sudan, for instance.
Yep. And there's war, apparently, between Afghanistan and Pakistan. I don't know what's going on there.
We are living through interesting times, by which I mean... Exactly. Yeah, very, very alarming. But, you know, at least we're living through an interesting period in which historians, assuming that we all live that long, will be, you know, curious about what was happening and why it was happening and who was going along with it and who was raising a finger of objection.
Yep. The Kurds, have you seen this business that's going on with the Kurds? The Kurds are now being tried to be... Trump has actually phoned Kurdish leaders in Syria and southern, or any areas around there, northern Syria, and tried to coax them into being the foot soldiers in Iran.
Yeah. It's almost as though he is just thinking this stuff up as he goes along. Like he'll jolt awake in the middle of the night and just tweet out something stupid, and that becomes American foreign policy the next day.
Oh yeah, I mean, where it's all going is somewhere else.
Nobody knows.
But Ukraine is still slogging it out, still fighting,
yeah.
Still. And
here's another word that I haven't. Here's another word I haven't heard all week. Gaza.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that, you know, all of the problems that have besetted the people in Gaza haven't been solved.
Yeah. In fact, I think historians will look back on this period and actually say this was Starmer's finest hour.
Well, let's not get carried away. He he didn't join in straight away. And he wasn't alone in Europe in being reluctant to do that. So, you know, and then since then he's sort of backtracked a little bit. But then it was only after Iran started lobbing bombs at us.
Yeah. Well, Harold Wilson saved me from going to Vietnam. That's all I can say.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, Harold.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. You would have had something wrong with your, like, some sort of bone spur issue. I'm pretty sure about that, Jeff. Spurs. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, Welsh. Being Welsh. I won't call him. I'm Welsh.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would be an excuse, but it's worth trying.
Yeah.
If the conscription people knock on your door anytime soon, Jeff, I would mention that whole Welsh thing, see how far it gets you. All right. Thanks a lot, mate. 0345 6060 973. Paul says, liar toller, stop before I laugh sick over my neighbour's cat. Oh. Steve says, if the leader of the opposition party thinks they would never see the day when Britain would not automatically back the United States, they obviously haven't heard about Vietnam. I'm getting deja vu, like I've read that one before. How many more of these have I got to go? Oh my God, so many. People just don't communicate with their mouths anymore. They're just into waggling their fingers over their phones. Or not all of their fingers either, just their thumbs. Chris says, I always forget to get this message. No, that's about the Sopranos. The Sopranos will never be beaten.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree that that's true. On the other hand, Anne says, MASH, best TV show ever, no debate. Well, let me debate you about that, Anne. Best TV show ever, MASH?
No, 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 no.
Okay, that's the end of that debate. It's a no from me. Definitely not. Best TV show ever? Come on. I mean, all of the series weren't that great. I think it ran out of steam towards the end, and they changed some of the best. I guess the actors either passed on, I can't remember, or they just didn't want to do it anymore. They said, right, that's it, we're leaving. And then we're replaced by people who weren't as good, because they weren't the people that we got used to, you know. It's like spending time with your, with old friends, isn't it? Like a show like MASH or Dad's Army, stuff like that. Group of people just, you know, muddling through. This text says, Kwesi Kwarteng is on Sky News right now, giving his expert opinion on the economy due to the Iran war. Oh, great. What? Anybody want to hear that?
No.
You've got to be kidding me. There's two names I hadn't heard, not just all week, but for a good long while now. Kwesi Kwarteng. Is he still a thing? Tom says, we like to boogie a jitterbug boogie. From Tom, the metrosexual ballet-dancing green voter from Bolton. Hey, we found one. We got one in Bolton. And this text says, the Secretary of War Crimes. Well, talking about... I'm up against the break already. Okay, so I'll come to Donald Trump throwing somebody out of the MAGA movement. The warning on oil prices by Qatar's energy minister. What Spain and France did when Donald Trump told them to stand up straight. Kristi Noem is... she's that woman with all of the makeup and the big lips and the hair that tumbles over her shoulders. Like... I hesitate to say it. In fact, I'm not going to say it. But why do they all look like that? Why do Trump's women all look like that? They're all the blooming same. It's like a bunch of fembots. And I want to talk about David Beckham's Inter Miami. Oh, there's just no end of stuff to discuss. 0345-6060-973, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC.
This is LBC.
Hi, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny?
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. As a landlord, you will need to get on top of these important changes. They will affect how you manage your tenancies. Act now. Read the guidance at gov.uk/renting-is-changing.
A Southern Train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to recharge yourself and your phone. To stretch out, sit back, and when you hear all change, please, you'll know you already have. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
With over 50 years' experience, Fidelity can help you feel confidently invested. Make the most of your annual allowances by the 5th of April with our expert insights, excellent service, and wealth of investment options. For ISAs, pensions, or advice, go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
Lidl's garden season is a go! With new gardening gear every week, from potting and planting to outdoor furniture, 10 weeks from the 5th of March, we're just getting warmed up. Lidl, more to value.
While stocks last, selected stores GB only. In-store from the 5th of the 3rd, 26.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
I really like you. Do you like me?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Let's have a little bit more peace, love and understanding. What's so funny about that? Get Elvis Costello on the phone and he'll explain it to us. Emma says, Ayatollah, I don't even know her. That's not a joke, Emma. those are just two words that sound the same. There's nothing funny about that. That's not a joke. I know you're trying to make it one, but it isn't. I'm just trying to help. Am I helping yet?
No.
Brendan says, I think even an American framework with taxes would mess our system up. What does that mean? No idea. Let's try this one. It might be three in a row on the Nicky Abbott Show. Let's read on and find out. Tessa says, how do you rate David Bowie? I value your opinion mostly because I know you appreciate jazz. Excellent Women's Day jazz evening at the Welsh College earlier. Until recently, I was ambivalent about Bowie, but I seem to have developed a crush on a man who looks like the musician circa 1999 or thereabouts. I need your guidance, says Tessa. Well, the man that you have a crush on is not David Bowie. So how I rate him is neither here nor there to your future wealth and happiness. How do I rate... What, you mean out of 10? I don't know. All I know is the best album I've heard so far this year is the new one by Jill Scott. I'm not going to tell you it's great. It's better than that. It is fan-blooming-tastic. Jill Scott. What a talent. I think you'll love it. Let's see now. Newcastle, Chandra.
Good, very good evening, Nick.
Chandra.
How's been your week?
It's been great, mate.
Oh, okay. Well, at least someone's week has been good. Well, great even. I've heard over the last week, I've heard several experts who claim there is no legal basis for this war.
Mm.
And I've also heard experts argue that Iran was in no capacity to develop nuclear arsenal, because what is fundamental to being able to develop a weapon is stockpiling. And what they've agreed to give up is stockpiling.
Yeah.
They've been given permission to enrich, and enrichment on its own achieves nothing, because enrichment is essentially for energy production, and in the absence of stockpiling, they were never going to have a nuclear weapon, at least the one which would threaten their neighbors and beyond.
Yeah.
So, and the amount of, and the argument that, you know, they've gone after the regime because 30,000 innocent civilians were murdered in January. Now what they've done, in 1 week, the whole of Tehran is flattened, and it will take...
Is it?
Effectively...
I don't think you can say that. We would be seriously concerned if Newcastle, for instance, had received the same amount of bombage that Tehran has, and we would not be brushing it off, if that's what you mean.
Exactly. And the death toll, it's not just about the death toll, the devastation which the entirety of Iran is going through.
Yeah.
Is,
Nothing as compared to what it's about to go through, because if the people who are bombing it don't have any plan or any scent of a plan, it's almost as though they're not really bothered about what happens next, just as long as chaos ensues.
Well, unless Donald Trump goes mad or dies of natural causes, he's old enough to kick the bucket. I sincerely hope he kicks the bucket due to natural causes.
Yeah.
I'm afraid
that's not going to happen, Chandra. He's made a deal with the devil. He ain't leaving ever.
Well, I'll have a word with devil tonight then.
Okay.
On a slightly different point, when you were describing someone with pouty lips and excessive makeup, I thought you were describing Donald Trump.
Wow. You are really on a list now, Chandra. I wouldn't even consider going to America or leaving your house. In fact, I think you should probably move house. Don't tell anybody where you're going, all right?
Okay. And one final point before I leave you in peace. Where are you with Peaky Blinders?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apart from anything else, the title puts me off, because I know what that is. These gangs in Newcastle used to put razor blades in the peaks of... Oh, this is spoiler alert.
Wrong type of
Birmingham, sorry.
It wasn't Newcastle.
Oh, I thought Peaky Blinders was in Newcastle.
No, it was set in Birmingham. What it is inspired by is also people from, or historical characters from Birmingham.
Mm.
I've just come home having seen Peaky Blinders, the movie. I am a big fan of Peaky Blinders, and not the latter series, but initial three series. I think it's one of the best productions by BBC, at least, anyway.
Hmm.
However, the movie doesn't quite have the same magic as the BBC.
Well, you've got to have a lot more magic on a wide screen than on a small screen.
It takes more than just a large screen, though. It takes plot, and it takes... Right. Yeah.
You can cover some of that up on the small screen, but on the big screen, you've got to have a lot more. than on the telly. Yeah.
Yeah.
What
I'm saying. So if you were planning to go see...
I most certainly was not. No.
Oh, right. Okay.
Having never seen the TV show, I'm not going to jump in at the film. No, 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 no.
No.
No. All right. Thanks a lot, Chandra. Can't remember the last really excellent thing I saw on TV. I sort of struggle and get up to maybe one or two episodes and then think, oh, do I really care about any of these people? And the answer is usually no. What was the last thing? I guess The Night Manager was pretty good. Mostly because of, oh, God, what's his name? The guy who played the evil guy who, for his entire life up to this point, he played not Tom Hiddleston, the other one. Tom Hiddleston was the hero. No, the evil guy. Because most of his life he played upper-class twits for comedy. But he really worked as a villain. I thought he was great. Can't remember what his name is now. Oh, well, never mind. We'll never know. But that was about the best thing that I've seen lately. Certainly the best British thing I've seen lately. Other things I just... I mean, there's so many series out there, and I really want another series. Some, you know, so why is it so hard to make something as good as The Sopranos? I just don't get it. It's like 25 years since... 25 years since that was shown. Something like that. And they still haven't found anything better. Or even close. Okay. Breaking Bad, yes. Better Call Saul, of course. But other than that... Mrs. Brown's Boys. Message from next door. Mrs. Brown's Boys. How is that still on? I don't know anything about it. I've never seen it, but it doesn't prevent me from having a strong opinion. It's awful. There, I've said it. Dave says, the best TV show ever is Ghost Whisperer. I will fight you. Says Dave. Right, never heard of it. Archie in Inverness says, but we are in a special relationship, Nick. Do you advocate a special divorce? If so, can we afford the settlement terms?
I want everything you have.
No, we can't. Mark says, knock, knock. Who's there? Ayatollah. Hi, Tollah. How you doing? Terrible. I mean, I'm embarrassed. This is me being embarrassed. And that's embarrassing. Rebecca says, evening, Nick. It seems as though Zelensky has all the cards now. The decomposing dictator wants his help with the Iranian drones. Not sure I'd be giving him the info that he wants. He'll go squealing to rootin' tootin' shootin' Putin and make it harder for Ukraine to defeat Russia. Wonder if Vance has said thank you. Thank you to Zelensky.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he was wearing a suit when he asked. All this stuff that's going on, and you know, we forget so quickly. Gaza, we've forgotten about that. We've forgotten about Ukraine straight away. And we never had Sudan front of mind at all. I mean, when was the last time you ever saw a report about that on the news? And the stuff that's going on there is just abysmal. It's so bad, I don't even want to tell you. Why can't people just get along? It is kind of odd, isn't it? I think that the human race has peaked, let's say 1972. Peaked in 1972, or maybe 74. I'm going to go with 78? I think 78. Let's agree on 1978. Peaked in 1978 and has been all downhill since there. I mean, the only thing we've ever learned from history is that nobody ever learns anything from history. And we are repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again. While yelling that we're not. Because, you know, if you say something louder, that makes it true. John says, Donald Trump will authorize the deployment of two strategic nuclear weapons against Iran, not because they are justified, but because the USA and Israel are running out of conventional weapons, and he wants to save face for him and Netanyahu. Save face, maybe. Yeah, well, I wouldn't be remotely surprised. I mean, they To start a war that you don't have any idea of what the purpose of it is, it seems remarkably stupid. And for all those countries that went blithely along saying, yep, okay, count me in, I mean, that is unbelievably dumb. You're not even being run by that clown show, and you're still acting as though you are. But to not have an idea about what it's for, or what a win would look like, I mean, he changes his idea with the direction of the wind. First it was regime change, and then he didn't want regime change, he just wanted the Iranian people to rise up. I'll have your backs, he said. And they went out and they rose up, and he didn't have their backs.
Liar!
Yeah. And now he said, I want the only way that this is going to end is for me to receive the Iranians' unconditional surrender. And then, so I guess there's still a grown-up in the White House, they panicked, ripped that phone out of Donald Trump's hand and said, no, he didn't mean it. It's just joking. And people are actually got the nerve to criticise Keir Starmer for not wanting to get into that mess. 0345 6060 973. You can text 84850. Email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345 6060 973. It's 11:30 on LBC. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
The White House appears to be stepping back from President Trump's demands for Iran's unconditional surrender. He made the comments earlier in the day as the fighting entered day six. It's believed the life support machine of the Soham killer Ian Huntley has been turned off. The 52-year-old was left with severe brain trauma following an attack in prison last month. And plans for the creation of an anti-Muslim hostilities czar are expected to be announced by the government. The news is contained inside a leaked draft of proposals on social cohesion. LBC weather, dry but breezy for northern areas with a chance of frost, milder with more cloud across England and Wales. There could also be some patchy rain and fog. We'll see a low hovering around 1 degree.
LBC.
A southern train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes, with kids' tickets for £2 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
It took me less than 30 seconds to request my repeat prescription on the NHS app.
That's quicker than making this brew.
And I save time by not ringing the GP practice.
When?
Plus, with notifications turned on, I know as soon as I get a new message.
Big win.
So there's more time for this tea break.
So did you go to that restaurant?
It was so
good. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Request repeat prescriptions and turn on notifications to never miss a message. Tap the NHS app.
1983 election, she's won a landslide second term.
Police have been deployed to disperse crowds as the poll tax riots escalate.
Credit crunch is continuing to spread from the USA.
Britain has left the European Union.
I mean, the list goes on.
Boris, Liz,
we've Richie. Helped Britain invest through 45 years of change. That's why we're the UK's number one investment and savings platform, trusted by 2 million people. Hargreaves Lansdown, helping Britain invest for it all. Investment returns vary. For claim verification, visit hl.co.uk.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Have an outside line, please.
Yes, dial 9. Dial 9 for an outside line. 0345 6060973. Yeah, that's what you used to have to ask in offices, kids. They didn't used to just let you pick up the phone and dial anyone you liked. Very, very expensive using the phone. So you had to go through an operative. Oh, by the way, that was Carol McGiffin.
Yeah.
And we do a podcast. Ordinarily, we've been taking a long while off. And it's going to be a little longer, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think she's going to be available on the 18th or 19th, something like that. So it should come out the Monday. We'll be back. We're a problem-solving podcast. If you can believe that. And we solve people's problems usually while laughing like drains. But lately we have run away, essentially. and we have invited the people who ordinarily confide in us to solve their own blooming problems. But we're going to be back soon. The podcast is called What's Your Problem with Nick and Carol? There's over 300 episodes to watch, listen to. So if you're missing us big time, then you can, you know, just listen back to some older stuff. It's not time specific. It will still be as fresh now as it was the day it was laid. And if you have listened to them all and you want something else to listen to, then I would point you in the direction of my Best Of podcast, which is called The Nick Abbott Habit, and has experienced something of a revolution in these past couple of weeks, because it's now twice a week and in an especially long version. So it's much longer and appears more frequently than it used to, The Nick Abbott Habit. And if you just do a podcast search on my name, Nick Abbott, and podcast, then I do believe that all three will come up as though by magic. Hazelmere. Hello, Della.
Hello, Nick. Hi.
Della.
Hello. Before I get to my main point, I heard an interview with Steve Mallon. Do you remember him?
Steve Mallon?
Mallon. He used to do the Mrs. Thatcher impression on Spitting Image. Oh. He was the guy.
No, I've never heard of that. I had never heard that name.
Well, anyway, sorry. Well, just to get the thing is that he was saying that because he doesn't do her anymore, he has moved on to other ones.
Yeah.
And his main one, and I was very disappointed. His main one is now Ann Widdecombe.
Oh.
And it's nowhere near as good as yours. And you know.
Well, to be fair, I don't make Ann Widdecombe speak when I'm doing her. I just make a noise that to me sounds like Ann Widdecombe.
But that's what he did, and it still wasn't as good as yours.
Oh, right. See, I would have thought that if you do Margaret Thatcher, then that is a skill that is easily transferable to doing Donald Trump, because it's the same part of your mouth, I think. Like that.
Is it? Oh, right. Oh, gosh. You know better than me on that one.
It's kind of like a strained on the vocal cords and a bit at the back of your mouth and through your nose.
Mm. Oh, right. Okay.
Don't make me do it.
I won't. So to get to the real point, I wanted to discuss whether we should allow Isabel Oakeshott and Rio Ferdinand back in the country.
Well, let me think about that for a moment.
No.
Absolutely. Definitely not. No.
No evacuation without taxation.
Exactly. Yes, that is precisely right. Those people should have to pay. Now, I have some sympathy, not a lot, but some people went there on holiday. Okay.
Mm.
All right. Now, it's the duty of the government to take care of the good people of this country. That is their number one priority. So if it's necessary to get them out of there and they're on holiday, then fine and fair. But if you left this country in order to avoid paying the tax that makes this country run, and you are complaining that our taxes aren't getting you a plane out of there quickly enough, then I have no sympathy at all, and you should be forbidden from coming back to this country unless you pay all of the tax that you would have paid had you not patriotically scarpered.
Yes, exactly. I completely agree. And, I did think of, if one was going to be a bit charitable, a couple of solutions or things to do is, and remember when you were a kid and if you had siblings, they would say, oh, I'll only do this if you stand on one leg and say Humpty Dumpty 20 times. Well, we could make the influencers do that and put it on their
influencers.
Instagram.
Oh, yeah. My God. Influencers. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be an influencer. People used to want to do proper jobs. They wanted to be a fireman, or they wanted to be a footballer, or they wanted to play guitar in a rock and roll band.
Rock and roll!
Now they want to get paid for sitting around drinking cocktails in their swimwear.
Exactly, and they didn't want to go to ghastly places like Dubai. But the other thing was that we'll have to get Jeff involved, but they must definitely be on the banned list for the Goose and Cuckoo, all of them, which is now the ultimate sanction, I think.
It is. Their name's not on the list. They're not getting in the Goose and Cuckoo. Exactly.
That's all I've got.
All right, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Della. This says, here's a joke for you. Oh, no. No. Rebecca says, it seems as though Zelensky has the cards. No, I've read that. The decomposing dictator. Blah, blah, blah. I've got to delete these as I read them. That would be the professional thing to do. This is in bold type. It's twice as big as any other message that my glamorous assistant has put on my screen. And it says in red, and in capital letters, very important message, must read. So I'll read it. Oscar says, Nick, you must find a way to convince LBC to keep on your current fabulous assistant. She's great! Yeah. It's got nothing to do with me. Mark in Cradley Heath says, Trump, right. Starmer's no Churchill. More like Chamberlain. And look how that ended up. Love the show, says Mark. Yeah, of course he's no Churchill because he's Keir Blooming Starmer. But Donald Trump ain't no Dwight D. Eisenhower either. He's Jabba the Hutt. We've established that already. Robin in the New Forest says, If the world in turmoil, isn't it time for the return of the man who doesn't do detail, can't see the big picture because of his tasseled hair, but always does his best?
Yeah. Wait.
Oh, my God. No. No. Do you want to come back and do the top job, Bodge?
I can't comment on that. I
Yeah, that's a yes, isn't it? Yearning for it, he is. Instead of busily scribbling down his column that nobody ever reads, because it's behind a paywall. Would you pay money to read that man's scribbles?
No.
Robin in the New Forest says, no, that's the if the world thing is. See? Gotta delete them when you read them, idiot. Tina says, did you know that Trump has now been anointed by God to bring on Armageddon, according to the American press? We are doomed. Well, I just saw a picture of those pastors laying their hand on Donald Trump as he sat gloomily at his desk. making it look as though he is pretending that the force of God is coursing through him, through the hands of these pastors, you know, the religionists over there, these people that use religion as a weapon, you know, those people. They say that, you know, Donald Trump has been sent by God to save America. I mean, what kind of a person would believe that?
I love the poorly educated.
That's exactly it. Yes. They keep giving and giving, don't they, Donnie? Bootle, Merseyside. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Nick.
Sarah.
Nick. In these Dr. Strangelove times, I think we need a few laughs. But let's be honest, when you look at what's on the box, it's sort of thin on the ground.
It is.
I mean, gone are the days of the really good shows that used to make you laugh. I mean, even some of the... I mean, what happened to the good comedians? I think the last one who died was Ken Dodden. Before that, it was Les Dawson.
I thought, did you ever see Ken Dodden in concert? You would remember if you had.
Oh, I remember. Put it this way, you got your money's worth.
Well, did you, though?
Yeah, I did. He was good. I mean, and... For, you know, when people say, oh, you know, he was a certain age, you know, he was 80-odd at the time. And I said, well, that's funny, because he's doing more funny and more topical stuff than some of these so-called comedians.
I'm not sure that's true. I saw him in Scarborough, and it must have been 30 years ago.
Mm.
And I think the show started at 7. I couldn't take it anymore at midnight, and I had to... I didn't really laugh in the intervening period.
Ah, well, it depends on your humour. It depends on... Some humour travels well and some doesn't. But, I mean...
It should have travelled to Scarborough.
mind you, Scarborough's... We won't go there. The People's Republic of Yorkshire, best not. But, I mean, you take a look at what... I mean, when you do take a look at some of the comedy that's on, and I go... This isn't... I'm sitting there. I'm going, this is not funny.
Well, I saw
sitcoms,
a film...
you go,
sitcoms,
come on.
Right. I saw... So, my glamorous assistant just put up a picture of the president of Azerbaijan, and that would stop you mid-sentence as well.
I'm not surprised.
I am.
It's not that power of lads enough to stop anyone.
I am surprised. Melissa McCarthy, she makes me laugh. She's in two films that actually made me laugh out loud. One's called Spy, and the other one is... she plays somebody who takes somebody's identity and cons them out of a lot of money.
Theft or something like that. I remember the one you mean. Yeah. It wasn't too bad. I mean, Spy was okay, and the other one that was quite funny. But when you look at some of it, you think, hang on a minute, who's? I mean, it would be a comedy drama or straight drama. You look at it, who's writing these scripts?
But it's whether the person is funny or not. See, she is just funny. She doesn't really have to say anything or do anything. You just look at her and you're laughing already. It's like Tommy Cooper. Tommy Cooper could famously come on stage and go, ugh, and the audience would be cracking up. He didn't have to say anything.
That's it. I mean, it's like if you've ever seen Paul Merton when he does his improv chums. I mean, he literally took the roof off in Liverpool. I know you don't like that kind of thing.
I can't live with improv. It's just too... it just sets my teeth on edge.
Yeah, a bit too... that one that was on, Whose Line Is It Anyway? That was a bit too much, but it can show how comics have got to think on the feet.
Yeah.
I'd
prefer them to think it out beforehand. I prefer to think it out beforehand, write it down, not just come up with stuff off the top of their head.
That's it. I mean, it's like when you're watching some of the sitcoms and you go, these are just not funny. And you go, come on.
It's mostly British sitcoms because, as I've said multiple times on this show, they're too tight, the people who make British sitcoms, and they don't employ enough writers. If you look at the writers of an American sitcom or at one of the late-night talk shows, they've got about 12, 15 people who are writing those jokes. And that's why they continue to be funny and they can go for year after year.
I mean, I think the last time most people remember decent comedy on the box was things like Steptoe and Son. I mean, which if you listen to some people when you're on your travels, believe you me, people do sound like that, with parents and children when they're adults. Only Fools and Horses. Anyone who lives in any inner city will see somebody like Del Boy down the boozer or flogging stuff down the market, and their brother and their uncle, you know, their older relatives and their mates.
The problem with me for British sitcoms is that they deal in essentially misery. Steptoe and Son, they were miserable people, they were living a miserable life, and they were just, you know, barely scraping by. And the Only Fools and Horses is kind of miserable because they were always having... I mean, I didn't really see much of it. I know the chandelier skit and the one where he falls through the bar, and, you know, physical comedy is always funny to me. It travels. But the rest of it, I don't know, I just don't want to be dipped in misery. Why do British comedies and soaps always have to be so blooming miserable?
Well, you know what I put it down to when it comes to the soaps and a lot of the dramas? Too many focus groups, and to be perfectly honest, I think there's too many Coke spliffs and too many Amsterdam brownies passed around when they're writing them.
I don't
Some
think...
of the stuff they come out with,
no
you go, come
way.
On, what are you on?
Absolutely no
they're
way.
They're on something.
Definitely not. I think they're on a cup of tea and a biscuit. All right, thanks a lot, Sarah. 0345-6060-973. Michael says, I sat with my Alsatian on the front seat of my Land Rover at the gas station. It was sunset, there was a gentle breeze, it came on over the radio that a great storm was coming. I've seen that film.
Affirmative.
On the latest episode of The Newsagents.
A special live Q&A episode on the Iran crisis, what it means for the United States, the UK, Europe, the Middle East and beyond.
Get the latest episode of The Newsagents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
On your marks, get set, go hybrid. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. More oomph than
than a Friday feeling and smoother than your last online date. More confidence, more go in a new hybrid engine with 0% APR representative over 24 months. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. Go on. Visit your local Toyota centre. Price from £21,595. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 31st March 2026. Optional final payment indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
BetMGM was born in Vegas. So just like the Cheltenham Festival, we know a thing or two about entertainment. Every ride, every race, every roar. This is Cheltenham Vegas style. Sign up to BetMGM now. Bet £10 and get £40 in free bets. That's right. Bet £10 and get £40 in free bets. Are you ready for the greatest show on turf? BetMGM. It's showtime.
Minimum stake £10 and customers only. Wagering requirements and conditions apply. 18 plus. Please gamble responsibly.
Aye. I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny.
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. As a landlord, you will need to get on top of these important changes. They will affect how you manage your tenancies. Act now. Read the guidance at gov.uk/renting is changing.
With over 50 years' experience at Fidelity, we believe there's a difference between investing and being invested. Investing is having access to guidance, tools and expert insights. Being invested means feeling confident about your future. Investing is choosing from a wealth of investment options. Being invested means focusing on your long-term goals. For ISAs, pensions or advice, be truly invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
Leading Britain's conversation. Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Yes, what we've got here is a failure to communicate between the Iranians and the Americans. And I think that the reason that there is a failure to communicate is because the Americans aren't listening. They're on send. There was this fascinating thing put up online by a diplomatic aide to the Sultanate of Oman's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Now, I mentioned this last week, but it's worth... Maybe I'll read this every week that this war is continuing. He said, I am a diplomatic aide in the Sultanate of Oman's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. He's called Peter Gurnus. He says, my job is logistics. When two countries that cannot speak to each other need to speak to each other, I book the rooms, I prepare the briefing materials, I make sure the water glasses are the right distance apart. We had a very good month. Since January, Oman has been mediating indirect talks between the United States and Iran on Iran's nuclear program. The talks were held in Muscat and in Geneva. The Americans would sit in one room, the Iranians would sit in another room, and I would walk between them. By mid-February, we had something. Iran agreed to zero stockpiling of enriched uranium, not reduced stockpiling, zero. They agreed to downblend existing stockpiles to the lowest possible level. They agreed to convert them into irreversible fuel. They agreed to full International Atomic Energy Agency verification with potential US inspector access. They agreed, in the foreign minister's phrase, to never ever possess nuclear material for a bomb. He says, I've worked in diplomacy for 7 years. I have never seen a country agree to this many things this quickly. So, war averted. And then, a few days later, Donald Trump said to reporters that he was not happy with the pace. The diplomat said, we had achieved zero stockpiling, full International Atomic Energy Agency verification, irreversible fuel conversion, inspector access, and the phrase never ever, which took 11 days and cost me 212 trips down a 47-metre hallway. Every American president since Carter has failed to get Iran to agree to this. 45 years. And then he said, the next day I wake up to push notifications. The United States has begun major combat operations in Iran, says President Trump. The president said Iran had rejected American calls to halt its nuclear weapons production. Which is a lie. Iran had agreed to zero stockpiling. Iran had agreed to full verification. Iran had agreed to never, ever hold a nuclear weapon. Iran had agreed to everything in a 14-page document that I typed in Times New Roman. The president said they rejected it. I don't know which document the president was reading, but I know which one I typed. So this entire thing is phony. February the 28th, Iran internet connectivity was down to 4%. Net blocks confirmed by Cloudflare. Essentially, they ain't got no internet. He said 96% of a country went dark. You cannot negotiate with a country at 4% connectivity. You can't negotiate with a country that is being struck. You can't negotiate. This is not a political opinion. It's a logistics assessment. And on that very day, Lockheed Martin shares were up. Northrop Grumman shares up. RTX up. Dow Futures down 622 points. Gold, $5,296. An analyst at AI Invest published a note titled Iran Strikes Tactical Plays. The note recommended positions in oil, defense stocks and gold. It's all about the money, honey. Kind of depressing, really. They were in conversation with each other, and the Americans said, we want this, and we want this, and we want this. And Iran said, yes, yes, and yes. And America heard, no. And here we are. Great. Archie in Inverness, this text says, Nick, I think you look like the president of Azerbaijan without the moustache. Wow. That is so offensive. From behind, maybe. Show me a picture of not his behind, but... not his behind.
Warning, warning.
Show me a picture of him from behind. Lucy says, I love the year speeding up. Brings us closer to Melania's Christmas impression again. Yeah, who gives a... about Christmas, says Melania, while decorating the halls with, ghoulish embellishments. Camberley, hello, James.
Hiya.
James.
I was just going to say, I heard something in the news which I thought was really good news, and that was about Ian Huntley being beaten up in prison. Now they've turned off his life support machine. That's good news, isn't it?
Well, it's a pretty gruesome thing to be extracting pleasure from, James, but, whatever gets you through the day. Caroline says, Trump does not care about the fallout. Iran's missiles can reach Europe, so Europe and the UK are in the firing line. So Europe must stay out of this war. This war will destabilise Europe, spike the oil prices and create another refugee crisis. Yes, that's right. All of the above and, underlined, another refugee crisis. Curious that the same people in this country who are demanding that Keir Starmer get stuck in and give the Iranians some, are the exact same people who sit on the White Cliffs of Dover and go dinghy spotting. Oh, there's another one. The one causes the other. Caroline says, the crypto billionaires do not care. They make money from war. Saudis also gave $2 billion to Jared Kushner. I smell a rat, says Caroline. Well, I know a man with a small dog that can rid you of that problem. No worries. Do it in about 2 seconds. You wouldn't believe your eyes. Those dogs love a bit of it. It was really quite alarming. I mentioned this on the air before. Please see a previous show for full details. Don't ask me which one. I had a rat problem. David in Lewes says, how's this for your Trump bingo card? Every TV and computer in the US will be obliged to have, as its screensaver, a photo of the dear leader, like in that Orwell novel, whose title I forgot, says David. Well, he's already got his huge giant mug on government buildings. Huge banners. I mean, it's like America. I don't know what the hell is going on over there. I mean, hey, Americans. Wake up! It's later than you think. I mean, all of the stuff that I've got as the Donald Trump bingo card, I mean, pretty much every single bit of it happened last year. I've put this in my book as well. Thank you for your attention to this matter on Kindle. One moment, please. I'm just trying to find my Trump bingo card. I know I'm off mic. I've got so many pieces of paper. Oh, I'll find it later. It's just too many. I've got about 86,000 different bits of paper. I'll find it later. Not now. Later. Yeah, the Trump bingo card. All sorts of things on there. I think the only two things that didn't appear last year that I predicted that he would do is not leave. And he only didn't leave because it wasn't time for him to do so. And he did not appear on stage in military uniform because they couldn't find one in his size. I think I'm always going to say that.
Don't be rude.
Yeah, I'm thinking of being rude. I mean, you know, laughter is all we've got left, isn't it? Joanna says, Trump is no Obama. Yeah, you remember Obacarama, don't you? That's right. And Denby says, dearest Nick, fact, in this year's Eurovision, there are more German words in the UK entry than in Germany's own. And with a reference to Jam Roly Poly among the lyrics, how can we lose? Well, I'm predicting we're going to find a way. 0345 6060 973, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. President Trump says arms companies in the U.S. have agreed to quadruple the production of some weapons as the war in Iran continues. He summoned them to the White House on Friday. Lockheed Martin says the meeting was held to discuss critical munitions production. But the former Conservative Defense Minister, Tobias Elwood, has been telling LBC, conflict is no longer just about weapons.
We're just beginning to taste this through the cyber attacks, the coercion, the disinformation campaigns, the challenges, the cutting to our undersea cables, the shadow fleets and so forth. This is another world of grey zone warfare. In many cases, our adversaries are bypassing the traditional battlefields and attacking society directly.
An American anti-drone system, which has been proven to work against Russian drones in Ukraine, will soon be sent to the Middle East. Two U.S. officials say it will be used to improve Washington's defenses against Iranian devices. The system flies drones against drones. The Conservative leader is expected to accuse the government of playing student politics while the rest of the world rearms. Kemi Badenoch is due to give a speech later on today, making a renewed attack on Labour's response to the Iran war. LBC's Jonathan Ray has more.
Mrs. Badenoch will say Sir Keir Starmer is still sitting on the fence over what Britain's role in the war should be, but she'll also warn the UK is involved, whether he likes it or not. The Tory leader's expected to claim the Prime Minister is scared of upsetting some Labour voters. One part of her speech includes the phrase, "I never thought I would see the day when Britain's allies felt they could not rely on us."
The US military says it's been carrying out operations in Ecuador with the support of the country's forces. It's describing them as lethal and kinetic. The Pentagon spokesman, Sean Parnell, says it was aimed at dismantling narco-terrorist networks. Reports this morning are saying the life support machine of the Soham killer, Ian Huntley, has been turned off. The 52-year-old was severely injured following an attack in prison last month. And three former US presidents have been paying their respects at a service for the civil rights activist Jesse Jackson. It's been taking place in Chicago. Following his death last month at the age of 84, Barack Obama led the tributes and criticized what he called the greed and bigotry in the U.S.
This man, Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson, inspires us to take a harder path. His voice calls on each of us to be heralds of change, to be messengers of hope, to step forward and say, send me.
LBC weather, dry but breezy for northern areas with a chance of a frost there. Milder with more cloud for England and Wales, where there could be some patchy rain and fog as well. We'll see a low of around 1 degree. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Right, whatever.
I don't feel normal at all.
Well, what's normal, dear? No idea, dear. Hey, I think Kemi Badenoch should read the room, unless she's actually determined to make the Conservative Party even less popular than it is at the moment. We don't want to join in this war. I think I've read three polls, and it's between 8 and about 22% of the people of this country that actually want any part of this war. Somebody should get a focus group for Kemi. Okay, here's my Trump bingo card. And the ones that were left over from last year was... now, he hasn't actually used this word yet, and this is the word to watch for. He's going to describe art as degenerate. That's the word to look for. Degenerate art. Art that he doesn't personally like. You know, anything that's not a Norman Rockwell picture with his with his face in it. Now, he hasn't... and all of these other things he's done already. He wants an airport named after himself. He wants an airport named after himself and a rail terminus. He wants his face on Mount Rushmore. Well, he said that so many times, that, and then he pretends he's joking. He ain't joking. He face on money. He's got that already. He was going to bring down a plane coming over America carrying an enemy. Now, I don't know whether he's done that or not. Let's assume not. He was going to call a state of emergency and there would be, therefore, no elections. And that one has dragged on over to this year. That's going to happen in November. Here's this year's Trump bingo card. The FBI will find 12,000 votes and say that Trump won in 2020. Trump will place his ICE goons outside Democrat area polling stations come the election, if that election is held. He will appear on stage in military uniform. They'll actually be able to find one in his size. He'll want his own film like Melania. Except it's got to be twice as long and they'll have to pay him twice as much. He'll have a statue of himself made in gold. Or at least gold-coloured. The gold will be as real as that tacky stuff he has nailed to the Oval Office wall. He wants to be made a saint. I bet some of those phonies that were laying on hands and, you know, bringing the power of Jesus unto him, I bet some of those people will be demanding that Donald Trump is made a saint. Or they'll say that just by thinking it, he is one. He'll have his portrait in every school in the country, or they'll be defunded. He will steal the Panama Canal. I want it very much. He'll have a verse about himself added to the national anthem. Yeah, sung by the village people. there'll be a false flag attack to create an emergency. That's a serious one, and I bet it happens. He'll have a chapter about himself inserted into the Bible. Even he wouldn't do that. But, you know, he does sell his own Trump-branded Bible at about a 1,000% markup on an ordinary Bible. So, you know. He'll have the Kennedy bust in the Kennedy Center changed to a bust of Trump. He'll want a walk-on part in the new Bond film. He'll want a national holiday named after himself. I bet he wants two. And he wants a constellation that looks like his face named after him. So that's my Trump bingo card for this year. And we await developments with bated breath. Let's see now. Who's been waiting the longest? Wallington. Hello, Judy.
Hi, Nick.
Judy.
I've got some news for you, but it's probably old news now.
Oh, yeah. Go on. I tell you what, Judy, this is a very bad line. We're going to call you straight back. All right. It's very upset. Stunned into silence. Well, call Judy back. Call her back straight away, if not sooner. I mean it. While we wait, here's some more messages. They come and they come. How do these people get my number? Alex in Wandsworth says, I'm an estate agent in Wandsworth and today handed the keys over to my buyers who completed on their first time buyer's home a house for $1.1 million.
What?
their first-time buyers, and they bought a house for $1.1 million in Wandsworth. And the most amazing thing about that is there's a house for sale in Wandsworth for just $1.1 million. It must be a very small house. Well, I bet that was the bank of mum and dad. Heather says, can I take you back to last Friday after the Greens dominated the conversation? You mentioned at the time that Trump hadn't done much that week. I can't help but think he may have taken your comments personally. I did. I came in with almost nothing on Trump at all and did remark that it seems a bit weird that, you know, the whole week's gone by and not much has happened. That's because he was, you know, keeping us in anticipation of him doing something crazy. And he went ahead and did it. Ah, it's Wallington and Judy again. Yes, Judy.
Oh, hi, Nick.
Oh, that's better.
I was actually ringing up just to tell you that the villain in The Night Manager was Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
That's right. Who would have thought that he'd make such a great and chilling villain?
He was fantastic.
He was.
And the show was pretty good too.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah,
I think they did a lot of that sort of James Bond type stuff, didn't they? I mean, at the beginning, it did look like the opening of a James Bond film, didn't it?
Yes, that was it did, absolutely.
Deliberately so,
yeah. It was, I think I'm going to have to buy the Bible according to St. Donald.
Yes.
And start praying to him.
Well, otherwise you're going straight to hell, Judy.
That might be the better option.
You will not pass go. You will not collect £200. You will go straight to hell.
I can't wait.
All right, I'll see you at the bar. All right.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Judy. 0345-6060-973. Yeah, The Night Manager was pretty good. I tell you what I'm looking forward to. I think the best, most appointment... That's not a very good way of putting it. But appointment television, the best example of that lately has been The White Lotus. Those three series have been superb. I mean, some were a bit more enjoyable than others, but overall it was the best thing on TV, and I think there's another one that's about to come out. I wish they'd hurry up. Denby says... Oh, no, that's about the Eurovision. Anybody interested in the Eurovision Song Contest?
No.
Not really. Ishmael says, I heard that Boy George was doing it. Is that true? I mean, I have zero interest, so I only read the headline, so I don't know whether that's actually happening. But he either said that he wanted to do it, or he is actually doing it. Put himself forward. What would he do that for? Ishmael says, can we send Farage and Kemi to fight the Iranians on their own? Looks to me that they're quite fired up. Yeah. You're so keen on war, why don't you go do some? And Simon says, Rose in Tavistock is phenomenal. Make her first lady. Somebody wants your position, Malaria.
I don't care.
She's actually not that bothered. Bored about that whole first lady thing. Bodmin. Hello, Malcolm.
Oh, hello, Nick.
Malcolm.
Oh, that was quick.
35 minutes.
Yeah, well, I have 3 points, yes. But I could make that six, Nick, if you'd allow me, right?
Go on.
So, I'm going to come on to Keir Starmer, mm-hmm. in a minute. I want to raise the goose and cuckoo.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about Dubai property.
Well, this is forthcoming attractions in your little missive today. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, the goose and cuckoo, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pub on the Shire's border, right?
Yeah.
But it's not. It's a pub in Abergavenny, right? So we're talking about we're talking about a local who often comes on slightly, I would say, oiled, inebriated, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He talks about he's been up to the Goose and Cuckoo, Nick. When was the last time you travelled? Hold on, let me just be exact here. When was the last time you travelled 23.4 miles for a pint in your local?
Never. In my local?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, we're talking about a man who goes to his local. And now, look, I'm angry. I am angry, yes, yeah. But I'm not going to be excessively angry because I am I'm allegedly a customer who was banned.
You're banned from the Goose and Cuckoo.
Very, very close to being banned, right? And I wasn't happy, my friend, but I was told, you were told, that this is the pub that overlooks the Shires of England. Now,
I've got no idea.
Well, look, at the Shires...
And neither do I remember anybody describing it thus. I did go to somebody else's local the other day. And, let me tell you this. And I could not believe the prices. Somebody came back to
Forget that, because where this member drinks,
the beer will be as never been so chips. Offended in my life, Malcolm.
As when?
Just now, when you shut me up to say whatever the hell it is that you're about to say.
I love you, Nicholas. I love you, Nicholas, so much. But look, let me just get through my short list, right?
Yeah.
So it's a Shires public house that overlooks the Shires of England.
Okay, you're still going on about...
The view...
You're still going... Malcolm, you're still going on about that pub. You've got another 5 points that you would like to raise. I suggest you get on to them.
Okay, so my second point is... Keir Starmer, right? I think his future is catching up with him, Nick. Rapidly.
His future?
Is catching up with him.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, hear me out. Keir Starmer is going to be seen, I think, as someone who saw what was coming as many people have in the past. And I think he will be shown to be absolutely right.
Mm.
And I think the orange man in America... Is will be looking to Starmer for some backup and some support.
Yeah,
I think, right.
And so, also, it's a neat way to split Europe up ever more because that's the Americans' plan. And curiously, it's a rootin' tootin' shootin' Putin's plan too.
But that's where Nick. That's where I think Keir Starmer's future truly is catching up with him. In that, I think that Europe sees that Keir Starmer, like them, has finally got a backbone and says no, Donald,
right.
Thus far and no more.
No more. Nick, look, Spain said no. France said no. Even Italy said no.
And Nick, on that whole Middle East thing, right? There was I sent some texts into LBC where. I was so angry, and I was angry from this extent, Nick, right, that we've got people, we are told by the Tory party and Reform that so many people are leaving Britain to go to the Middle East and America and Canada because Keir Starmer is taxing the pants off them.
Yeah.
But... This week, Nick, we see a reason why those people should have stopped and thought before they bought a ticket for an aeroplane, right?
Yeah.
And what they should have realised was that it's life is short.
They want to go to a country in order to save a little bit of tax, and they want to go to a place and not integrate at all. They want to do the opposite of integrate. They want to surround themselves only with people like themselves, and ignore the local the locals' ways and the.
Nick, let me say finally.
Oh my God, you're so interrupty.
Nick, in 2000. Oh, God, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? I knew one of these. I became a school teacher at an older age, 34 years of age, Nick, right? I became a school teacher. I met up with one who became a math teacher in a school I worked in, right? And this math teacher used his RAF retirement lump sum to buy a flat in Dubai.
Right.
And all I had to suffer, Nick, every day, every break... Every lunchtime was this man telling me how wonderful Christmas, Easter, half terms, and the summer holidays were in Dubai.
Right.
Well, I'm hoping now
Not no more.
That man is realizing that he so mistook his place in the British RAF, his place in Britain, and his place in the world.
Yeah.
Because if he's still alive, which I'm not sure he will be, Nick, because he was a few years older than me, if he is still alive, I just so hope he regrets what he did. And I just hope that the people... Like, I just so hope that the people who have left our great country come to stop and think and just appreciate what they once had and could have again.
Yes, you know? I think that they should be taxed every single penny that they saved by not being here. That's the only way in which they can be allowed back into this country. They should pay up front. They should pay all of the tax that they saved by patriotically scarpering in order contribute to the country they say that they are patriotic about. All of those phonies. They should all be taxed every penny that they saved by scarpering off somewhere else. All right, thanks a lot, Malcolm. Pretty dark. A little bit. You want him crying? Is that what you said? 0345-6060-973 LBC.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
This is Taxation Without Representation.
Straight to the point.
You get giddy with all these U-turns.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Lucky he gets up in the morning, really, isn't it?
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
As a renowned co-educational pre-prep and prep school in Esher, Millbourne Lodge prides itself on a culture where boys and girls thrive together. We don't just teach, we build the foundation for a lifetime of success. Our pupils consistently achieve exceptional results, securing places and varied scholarships at the country's most prestigious independent senior schools. Discover the Millbourne difference at our open morning on March the 13th. To book your place, search Millbourne Lodge School Open Days.
Upgrade your car at Ancaster MG this spring. With hundreds of new and used electrified vehicles in stock and great offers across the range, there's never been a better time to change. From the all-new MGS 5 EV or MGS 6 EV to the plug-in MGHS hybrid or the fully electric MGIM range, we've got the drive just for you. So book your test drive at ancaster.co.uk/test drive.
Story.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
A big sack of monkey nuts.
Yes, it's a big sack of monkey nuts floating in space. Like a blue planet of monkey nuts. Joe says, I just know that Flump will want to have his fat face engraved all over the World Cup if there is no worldwide boycott. FIFA cannot let him despoil it. They will never be forgiven. Well, they'd have to be forgiven for a lot else besides. They know what they've done. And Lorian Cheem says, if you became unemployed tomorrow and there were only two jobs, which of the following would you do? Donald Trump's hairdresser or, or Nigel Farage's dentist? Definitely the hairdresser. Yeah, definitely the hairdresser. You just peel it off the top of his head and you put it in a cupboard.
I don't wear a toupee.
0345-6060-973. Saffron Walden. Hello, Jay.
Oh, hi, Nick. How are you?
Great, mate.
Yeah, great show. I'm enjoying it. Thank you. Yeah, I want to talk about our local politics, about Kenny Badenoch. Why is she so bad at her job? She's... PMQs, it's so
excruciating. I didn't see it.
Yes. I watch it every...
Do you?
I listen.
Why?
Yes. Because I like James O'Brien, so I listen to him.
Oh, okay.
Right. Analysis. Sorry. Well,
that's different. You're listening to the commentary. You're not listening to the...
Yeah, commentary.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. And then another thing is I read in The Guardian... John Grace. He said that Kenny Badenoch told us that we should bomb Iraq. Is that true or not? Yeah.
Well, he's the sketch writer, so in other words, he writes jokes about it. So probably not. I don't know. I don't know. Didn't see it.
No, she had an interview with Nick Robinson on Today Show, like yesterday or something, and then she was saying that we should bomb Iraq instead of Iran.
Well, why not? Let's have a twofer. Iran, Iraq, any other country beginning with I? India.
Yeah. But what I wanted to say is it's really scary because my ex-country where I'm from, we're neighboring with Iran, and they already lobbed one of their Shahid,
drones.
Into the airport, and then and they not. I mean, they're not apologising or anything. So luckily nobody died.
Apologising. Sorry about that. Whoops-a-daisy.
I am very sorry that I screwed up.
Yeah, we totally screwed up, yeah.
But another thing is I wanted to raise a point in regards to Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. Have you ever heard Jared Kushner talking? Because I don't know how... I've never heard him talking. Have you?
Yes, I have, and he is just as ineffectual as he looks.
And that's why they fail the talks, isn't it? Because they're the two people who are going around the world and negotiating on behalf of U.S. government, and they don't even have a qualification.
Well, none of the people that Trump surrounds himself with have any qualifications, and it's because he doesn't want to be challenged by anybody who knows more about stuff than he does, which is why he keeps coming out with, I know more about anything than anybody.
I know more about grass than any human being, I think, anywhere in the world.
I know more about grass than any human being anywhere in the world. I mean, what kind of a stupid moron would say something out loud like that? Like this?
I know a lot about wind. I know a lot about wind.
He knows a lot about wind. What does that even mean?
Oh, yeah. But what I wanted to say is, you know, Kristi Noem, she's been replaced by another moron, and he doesn't even know what he's talking about. What was his name? Wayne something. Wayne.
You're talking about Homan. This, I don't know if Kristi Noem.
No. Right, no. Somebody Kristi Noem has been.
She's been out.
Senate.
Yeah.
No. By senator, is another nutcase.
Right, I've got no idea, but that's what I would expect, yeah.
But anyway, but thank you very much. I enjoy your shows all
the time. Okay, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Jay. Here's that story about Kristi Noem. That's Kristi with a K. For Donald Trump, a man who values loyalty above all else, it was the moment his patience with Kristi Noem finally ran out. Appearing before Congress, his Homeland Security Secretary said under oath that the President of the United States of America had signed off on her spending $220 million of taxpayer money on border security advertising, a campaign featuring herself. There was Kristi Noem on horseback at Mount Rushmore in a Stetson and leather chaps and a form-fitting shirt, and she went to a prison where they keep the very dangerous people that her ICE goons had arrested while being brown. She wore a form-fitting, tight, double denim outfit for that one, with a massive gold Rolex on her wrist. Then she dressed up like a Coast Guard member in aviator shades and a tight, form-fitting shirt. And then there was her athleisure outfit, with the tight, form-fitting shirt that she wore to have her photo taken in front of tattooed prisoners in an El Salvadorian jail. And then there was the jungle Barbie look, when she wore a full camouflage, tight, form-fitting T-shirt, and there was the tight, form-fitting, bulletproof vest that she wore for a photo op on a deportation raid, and the hard hat and jeans combo with a tight, form-fitting shirt to have her photo taken, pretending to put up a fence at the border, and the tight, form-fitting nurse's outfit that she wore for a photo op in a hospital, and the tight, form-fitting leather biker's jacket that she wore for a photo op at a motorcycle rally. All while wearing more makeup and hairspray than Donald Trump.
Oh, shut up!
And apparently not only did Donald Trump not sign off on any of that $220 million advertising campaign featuring Kristi Noem in all these various outfits, he claims he didn't even know she was doing it. Anyone believe that? What was previously Trump's strongest issue, immigration, has become an electoral liability, with Kristi Noem as the face of Trump's policy. A key moment in that damaging process came when she stepped to the microphones just hours after the fatal shooting of activist Rene Good by an ICE officer in Minneapolis on the 7th of January. In such situations, federal officials typically say they will need to wait for the findings of an investigation before passing judgment. So her response was unexpected. Wearing a black Department of Homeland Security hat pulled down over her eyes and a form-fitting shirt, Noam claimed that Rene Good had committed an act of domestic terrorism, weaponized her car, and attempted to run a law enforcement officer over. The officer, she said, was just following his training. And that didn't go down very well. As you probably know, Rene Good was white, which is the wrong colour to be the victim of an officer's shooting. But she said that because she thought that that's what the dear leader wanted to hear. And now she's getting flack about that, and she is freshly out the door.
Bye-bye.
And how do I know that that's what Trump wanted? Because when asked at the time by the Daily Mail if Trump was satisfied with Kristi Noem's handling of that crisis, that shooting of Rene Good in Minneapolis, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said, yes, 100%. There's no room for doubt there. It wasn't 99%. He wasn't thinking, well, maybe, maybe not. 100% approval from Donald Trump about the job that Kristi Noem was doing. One former senior ICE official said, Kristi Noem is the stereotype of what Trump likes to have in leadership. They look good on camera, they provide you with good sound bites and videos, and that's about it. Yeah. Which fits pretty much everyone the Tango Twitler has appointed. They're just a bunch of morning show hosts off the telly, with absolutely no idea what they're doing, apart from following the increasingly unhinged direction of the Mango Mussolini. Even before her appointment to the post, when she was governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem boasted that she'd shot and killed the family's 14-month-old dog, which had bitten her. I'm with a dog. That dog's dead.
My dog's been taken.
0345... 0345-6060-973. It's 12:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
President Trump says arms companies in the US have agreed to quadruple the production of some weapons as the war in Iran continues. He summoned them to the White House on Friday. Lockheed Martin says the meeting was held to discuss critical munitions production. The US military says it's been carrying out operations in Ecuador with the support of the country's forces. The Pentagon spokesman, Sean Parnell, says they were aimed at dismantling narco-terrorist networks. And reports this morning say the life support machine of the SOAM killer Ian Huntley has been turned off. The 52-year-old was severely injured following an attack in prison last month. LBC weather, dry but breezy for northern areas with a chance of a frost, milder with more cloud across England and Wales, also patchy rain and fog with a low of around 1 degree.
LBC.
Cook with confidence with Hotpoint ovens available at AO. Whatever's on the menu, have the flexibility to air fry, bake or steam for perfectly cooked meals every time. Plus, we'll deliver and install them when it suits you. Hotpoint's trusted appliances from the UK's most trusted electrical retailer. Shop now at AO.com. Verify trust at AO.com/trust and hotpoint.co.uk/trustpilot.
The tax year end on April the 5th is approaching, so don't let your 2025-26 tax-free cash ISA allowance go to waste. Make the most of it with a 4.01% rate from Marcus by Goldman Sachs, the five-time Which-recommended savings provider that's backed by over 150 years of Goldman Sachs expertise. Open your Marcus cash ISA at marcus.co.uk. Time's ticking. Interest rate is 4.01% AER, 3.94% tax-free variable, includes a bonus rate of 0.74% tax-free fixed for the first 12 months. Rate correct as of 5th of March 26.
Risk.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Hello, everyone.
0345-6060-973. Jamie in East Sussex says, the Daily Telegraph has been criticising the people who moved to Dubai for tax purposes and now want help getting back to the UK. What's happening is, has hell frozen over? Are they really? Well, they're a bit late. been doing it on this show for a few hours now. All of those people that patriotically left this country to go to Dubai just in order to save a bit of tax and hoped to live in a completely insulated environment, insulated from the rest of Dubai, not absolutely refusing to, fit in with their local surroundings, while criticizing people who do the exact same thing in this country, and then they want to come back? No. That's a big no from me, unless you pay every penny of the tax that you saved by scarpering. Then you can come back. Only then. If I was in charge, that would be the rule. Why isn't somebody making me in charge? Hackney. Hello, Gabriel.
Good evening, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Wonderful. Have you seen Trump has had his mug put on the Department of Justice building now, as of this week?
These are the big long banners outside, right?
Yeah, he's put his face on another Kennedy and building, but this time it's not the Robert F. Kennedy building.
Yeah, it's not just his face, though. It's his mugshot, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. But it kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, Mussolini fascism.
Yeah.
Like, what? I'm watching you. Looking down at you.
Right.
And
it's not a little bit like that. It's 100% of that.
Yeah, and it's kind of goes with the proposed architecture of the ballroom, really.
Yes.
This is where we're sliding into.
Yes. Dictator chic. Yeah, that's what he likes
Dictator
the best.
Dictator chic,
yeah.
That is very good.
Right.
Well, talking of poor housing quality, me and my girlfriend, we recently moved places, and I'm actually not in Hackney anymore. I'm down the road in Bow. Maybe I should probably get that sorted out on LBC, but yeah. And we were looking at a couple of places, and some of the places are terrible, but I tell you what area is really, really good, and it's like a newish build place, Olympic Park in East London.
Oh, well, that's from the Olympics.
I know, but like the houses that were built for the Olympics there should be like the model for new builds in the UK because they're really sleek.
No.
No?
Houses? No, you mean blocks of flats?
No. All right, there are blocks of flats, but there are also just residential houses that
are
built as well. Yeah.
Right.
They're like 2 and 3 story ones.
Like townhouses.
Yeah,
townhouses.
But they almost look like boulevards.
I bet. Right. But what do they look like inside? I mean, I bet they're absolutely microscopic.
I don't know. I've never been in one. But
I thought you were implying that's what you'd just moved to.
No, we moved into a place called Bow Quarter, actually, which used to be an old Victorian factory, which is really quite cool, actually. But yeah, the exterior is like really, really cool, and like time and effort would have gone into designing them rather than.
Right. Well, I don't know about the houses. I don't recall ever seeing those. I've seen the blocks of flats, and they're just like blocks of flats everywhere. I mean, it doesn't up and down the country, they're charmless, featureless, tiny, got no cupboards, no rooms. The rooms are, they got rooms, but they got no room. You know, they'll have a living room that's the size of a kitchen with a kitchen in it. There's just no room in those places, which is why the prices are plummeting and people can't sell them anymore.
Yeah, the UK has the smallest housing stock in the whole of Europe.
That's correct. Yes, we
it
do.
Is, yeah.
Yeah.
What was another point I had? That threw me off then. Car door handles. I get in, like, some Ubers every once in a while when I can't get a black cab.
Oh, I know.
And I don't know if you've ever noticed.
Yes, I have.
Some of the door handles on cars are just impossible to open.
Yes, no one can get into your cars, Elon Musk, you idiot. Do something about it.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where a driver tells me how to open the door when I get out.
Yes.
It's like, where's the handle? Like, oh, can you just hit that button? It's like, well, what button? Oh, the one under the...
Yeah, how are we supposed to be able to find that? Or the other one is that the cab drivers who selected... Not the cab that looks like an old-style cab with on steroids, because those are good. But there's the one that looks like a sort of a small van...
Is it the electric ones, the wheelchair ones?
They're all electric, yeah. And the doors has a big handle on it, but you can't touch it because it's apparently automatic. And the moment you touch it, then it freezes, and the cab driver has to say for about the 1,000th time that day, "Don't touch it. Leave it alone. It will open on its own." the amount of times that I've got... every single time I get into one of those things, I get yelled at by the guy because the handle is right there. And it's very big and it's instinctual, it's correct.
Yeah, I remember the point I had now. I remember you were talking recently about Vauxhall and how that area has been completely
hideous. Absolutely hideous.
Have you noticed, right in the middle, there's like four connecting Victorian houses just in the middle of this plot. There's like skyscrapers. Honestly, if next time you take the train or you go along Battersea Park Road,
yeah,
you'll see these four Victorian houses just sat there on their own amongst these massive tower blocks.
I haven't noticed that. Up. Right. Yeah.
Next time you get the train from Waterloo out towards Vauxhall, you'll see them on the right-hand side as you leave Waterloo.
Huh.
Like, they're really cool. Yeah, maybe a little bit of homework, maybe, but they look... It looks like a scene from Up.
Oh, well, it's then, like then if it's homework, then absolutely not. But thanks for the advice. All right. Yeah, no cheers, problem. Gabriel. Got to go. Cheers. 0345-6060-973. Kerry says, please don't compare Donald Trumpty Dump to a baby. I have a baby, and he is a delight. And despite not yet being able to talk, he makes more sense than that. This isn't me saying this. This is Kerry saying this. He makes more sense than that orange-faced moron, says Kerry. Not me. Let's see. Oldbury. Hello, Rangers.
Hello, Nick. How are you, mate?
Yes, very well, thanks.
Good. You know what? Remember when I told you that Fred from France come to visit me? And you said to me, you know, he's one of your number one fans, yeah?
I said that to you.
I said to you that I'm his number one fan, right? And I spoke to him and I faced. You said, well, you should speak to him more often. And last week when I come back from the pub, you know, I'd have a few drinks, so I spoke to him. And he was saying that he's on his last leg. So I said, listen, I'm having a drink with you. And unfortunately, he passed away on Monday. So I want to send my condolences to his family. You know, he really loves you and he loves your show. And that's how we became friends and he come to see me. So it's a shame. He's an old soldier, but he lived in France. So God bless his soul. Right. Regarding what I want to talk about today, you know when Donald Trump says, well, Keir Starmer's no Winston Churchill, I think Starmer should say, well, to be honest with you, Donnie, you know, you ain't even good enough to tie up Obama's shoelaces. I mean, that's the kind of language that we should use against
You're all about diplomacy, Ranjit. Would you like a job in the Foreign Office?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and you know, I want to run something by you. You know, if Kenny Bedingfield, had not become the leader of the Conservative Party, do you think by now she would have defected to the Reform?
I don't know.
I think she would have. Well, 50-50, okay. You know, Robert Jenrick, I mean, he did defect because he wanted to throw his toys out the pram because he never won.
He was defective.
I mean, I don't... He's definitely defective. Yeah, definitely, right. You know, have you seen that film, Lethal Weapon? I can't remember which one it is. It's where it was about the South Africans. Have you seen one of the lethal weapons?
I've seen one of them. He's sitting on the toilet and he can't get off the toilet because there's a bomb on it or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, one of those. I mean, it's like now, if I went to join the Reform Party and I say, mate, listen. Well, anyway, he went to the South African embassy, the black guy, and he says, you know, I want to go to South Africa. And the guy turned around and he says, sir, do you sure you want to go to South Africa? He says, well, you are black, right? So if I wanted to join the Reform Party, I wonder if, you know, the person that's recruiting is going to say to me, Ranjit, you sure you want to join the Reform Party? You know, you've got an Indian-sounding name, and you are brown.
You'll fit right in, Ranjit. Have you seen who has been defecting lately?
Mohammed Yusuf Hussein, that's one. Nadeem Zawawi.
Right.
Karilla Doberman, right? Yes. So, you know, I mean, Kenny Bedinok, when she, loses her, leadership, right, she'll fit right in there.
Yep.
Now, Nigel Fagash, right? He's all against immigration and, immigration stock, right? But at the end of the day, he's of German descent himself.
Well, we all come from somewhere else if you go back long enough. Ranjit, I've got to go, but thanks for that. 0345 6060 973.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Bull.
As President Trump says Iran's supreme leader is dead, do you think the US attacks will lead to regime change? Was that always the plan? And to what extent should the UK be involved?
Clive Bull at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Hi, I'm Sava, founder of Cool You. And when it comes to getting aircon into London's hot and stuffy apartments and listed buildings, I'm the daddy. For years, Cool You have supplied and installed fully internal aircon systems with no mess, no fuss, and no external condensers. So head to coolyou.london today. Cool You, for a cool, comfortable home.
Go from some day to sunny days in Greece with package holidays from £329 per person. So stop dreaming of souvlaki. Stop scrolling crystal clear beaches. Search EasyJet Holidays and get your holiday in Greece sorted today. Get out there. Selected dates April to September. Limited availability. Adult protected. T's and C's apply.
Chase is the digital bank that boosts your savings to 4.5% AER variable.
A boost?
Yep. It includes a 2.25% AER boost for the first 12 months.
Are they being boosted now?
All the time. Bedtime. Gym time. Romantic dinner time. And soon you could boost your way to...
beach time.
Boost your savings with Chase. Search Chase Boosted Saver. 18 plus UK residents available to new Chase current account customers for their first 31 days. 4.41% gross interest paid monthly. Eligibility and T's and C's apply.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato.
Whoa!
And spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo!
Try Dolmio Intensify. Pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
I know we are running late, and I should have mentioned this before, but you should be aware that the Friday and Saturday night shows get stuck up the internet as podcasts. It's exclusive to Global Player or the new LBC app. Those are the only two places that you can get it. The idea is something that I think will amuse and delight. We take the news and most of the ads out. Mostly, which means it's quicker to listen to. You'll use less electricity, and by that method, you'll save yourself a couple of pence to offset the massive amount that your bills are about to go up by. Ask for it by name on an internet near you. It's called Nick Abbott, The Whole Show Podcast. The Friday and Saturday shows get put up the internet almost the moment that they're finished. And by that method, you can enjoy them at your leisure. You don't have to, stay up and listen to it live. It's on podcast. Nick Abbott, The Whole Show Podcast. Now, let's have Rochester. Hello, Lulu.
Oh, hello, Nick.
Lulu.
I'm so sorry. I'm late to the show. I've been to a disco tonight.
A disco? Are you dancing?
I was dancing a lot, and my hips are aching now. Because, it's only the oldies that go to discos now. The youngsters don't do it. It's very sad.
There's a very, very good idea, which is catching on a little bit, I think, that discos are... They start at 2 in the afternoon, and they finish at 11 p.m. How brilliant is that?
We have a thing here called The Mingle. It's first Sunday of every month. It starts at 2, ends at 8. You're home... Cocoa and slippers by 9, in bed by 10.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Yeah. So, Nick,
I'm not sure about mingle.
Disgusting.
That sounds... that sounds a bit, suspicious. A little bit suspicious.
No, we mingle with the people that we know, because there's a group that go all the time, God, and we're good friends.
It just got worse.
No. We dance, and we just lift each other up. Anyway, right. Nick, the reason I'm calling...
Yeah.
So I did ask your glamorous assistant if you'd already had this, but she said no, she put me through. Did you see the videos of the paintings of helicopters and fighter jets that the Iranians had done and the Americans bombed them? They were paintings on the ground. Did you see that?
Donald Trump does hate that degenerate art.
Yeah, he does hate that degenerate art. So I'm thinking, I'm really thinking, America are really going to get their butts kicked here. You know, because the Iranians are so smart, you know. And I've been listening to an audio book this evening when I was getting ready to go to the disco about the history of Iran, and it's such a sophisticated country. America is only 200 years old. Iran is like, you know, thousands of years old.
Yes.
And they've had different cultures and different, you know, leaders and everything, and they are so intelligent.
And that's what you listen to before going out to do the disco dancing in order to get yourself all hopped up. The history of Iran.
Boring.
Good grief.
I did have to revert to Parliament Funkadelic.
Yeah.
You know, for the last half an hour. But you know, I think Americans are going to get taught a very serious lesson here.
Do you have more bants to the ants?
Of course we do.
Of course you do. I'm glad to hear it. All right. Sorry to hear about your hips, though, Lulu.
Yeah, I'll recover. Don't worry.
Got to take care of those. Okay. Thanks a lot. Cheers, my dear. Yeah, daytime discos. That sounds like a thing to me. I mean, you know, I drive by some places that have got kids queuing to get in when I go by. I mean, come on. It's not Spain. Spanish are nuts like that. I mean, they go out to dinner at 10, 11 o'clock. And then they go to a bar, and then they go to a club at 3. And then they get up the next day and do a job of work. How do they do that? Paul in Brentford says, how are the gold drapes in the studio? Much more important than Orange Armageddon. What gold drapes? We ain't got no bleeding gold drapes. Somebody should get some drapes in here. Couple of scatter cushions look lovely. Soraya says the Treasury is about to get a huge windfall now that all the tax dodging millionaires are being brought back from Dubai. That should fund a couple of warships. Exactly. Those people should have the money extricated from their account on entry back into this country. All of it. Otherwise, your name's not on the list. You're not getting in. And Jan says, by the way, I may call you one weekend to discuss my cat. My cat, Ted, he insists on listening to you. I mean it. He settles down every weekend and purrs for 3 hours. You're a cat whisperer without actually knowing it. Oh, little pussycat. Let's have Plymouth. Hello, Julie.
Hello, Nick. Hope you're good.
I am good, thanks.
Oh, brilliant. Is there any new news on Jeffrey Epstein?
New news on Jeffrey Epstein.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Still?
Yeah, we're still talking about him.
Still talking about him, yeah.
Don't let any wars put us off that.
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to start a war in Wales with Malcolm, and he's got the right help with Jeff.
Why can't people just get along?
Do you know, your show is a great advert for that. You have so many different voices. Mm-hmm. And different ages. And
it's a great big
sexes.
Melting pot, Julie.
It is.
Big enough to take the world and all it's got.
Yeah, lovely, Nick. I wanted to say these awful people that went to live in the Middle East.
Yeah.
The expats.
Dreadful.
They've abandoned their pets. I mean, what sort of people do that? You know, they've rushed for these planes back and they've abandoned their pets.
Have
just
they?
In the street, yeah.
What?
There's been news on it all day on all the shows on LBC. People telling us about they're getting cats and dogs left in the street or tied up. And it's just like, what sort
these people, I don't want them back. They sound awful.
I don't want them back either. They do sound awful because they are awful. Imagine leaving a country as great as this to go and live in some baking hot hellhole and insulating yourself from the local culture and customs, not integrating at all, just in order to save a bit of tax.
Yeah. And then living it up. And then taking on...
Well, living it up to a certain extent. I mean, you know, you can get arrested over there for things that wouldn't even raise an eyebrow over here. And there's all sorts of people who get arrested and are put in jail for all manner of weird and bizarre reasons. And that's what they're risking just in order to save a bit of tax. Well, to hell with those people. We shouldn't bring them back.
Don't bring them back. And don't ever let them own an animal again if they can't look after them. And
that's right.
I mean, you find someone to take it. There was one story on Sheila's show where a girl texted in and said, a lady texted in and said, my daughter's currently in Asia and she's flying back because of her cat. So she's flying back to, she obviously lives in the, or works in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And she's flying because she's worried about her cat. And I know we shouldn't bring it down to the cats and dogs, but it's just like, it just speaks so much about the sort of people that would do that. Isn't
I would imagine they're comfortable leaving them there because they only had those pets around for selfies.
Yeah.
I bet there's not a single black cat among them, because black cats don't come up in selfie pictures. It just looks like a shadow. That's why there's so many black cats that have been abandoned. If you go to Battersea Animals Shelter, I bet it's absolutely stuffed to the gills with black cats, because people don't want them, because they don't come up on selfies, for crying out loud.
I got a black cat in 1997 from Battersea called Timmy.
Timmy.
But you're right. But yes, Nick, sort these people out. I'm putting you forward to run everything, please.
I'll do it.
But please still do your shows. And your podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll continue to do that. And I'll start first thing Monday morning. Well, when I say first thing Monday morning, I mean, you know, a little bit late, like 11. I'll come in at about 12. Maybe we should skip Monday and I'll start on Tuesday. I'll start first thing Tuesday morning. Okay, Tuesday afternoon. I'll be here on Wednesday. How does Thursday sound? I'll pencil you in for Friday.
That's great. I'll take it.
All right. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Judy. They're leaving their dogs.
My dog's been taken.
His dog's been taken. Joseph says, I think the name Epic Fury probably comes from an episode of Fireball XL5, and it was probably the name of the dashing pilot that piloted the rival ship to Stingray, or something like it, back in 1953, maybe. Yeah, where did the Mysterons come in to all of that? Can't remember. Samantha says, do we still have some submarines armed with nuclear weapons going around? At what cost and for what purpose? Excellent question. That's right. Weybridge. Hello, Julius.
Hello.
Julius.
Hello, Nick.
Yes, Julius.
Quick. The Mysterons, Nick, were Captain Scarlet.
Captain Scarlet, indestructible.
What a good-looking man before James Bond came along.
Yeah, a bit wooden.
Well, there's no strings attached. Yeah, listen, going back, are you well? I hope you're well.
Yes, thanks.
Going back to something you mentioned earlier about how the original Ayatollah strike was so exact and taking out not only him but 25 of his successors or whatever.
I didn't mention that on this show.
I thought you did.
No.
We were talking about it earlier. Oh, well, I'll segue to what I want to talk about anyway.
All right.
Which is how it came about. And the word on the street is that the CIA weren't particularly involved, but Mossad were.
Mm.
And how Israel has got such a good tech industry that they were able to log into, or indeed crack, the on-street cameras around.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And track him specifically to his locations.
Yeah.
So I phone up really with a salutary lesson, given that we are one of the most surveilled countries in the world.
Correct.
And possibly we should be pushing back on that, especially it's mostly Chinese owned. That's really
the thing is that everybody spies on everybody else. I mean, we pretend that we don't, but we do. We spy not just on the countries that are supposedly our enemies, but we spy. And when I say we, I mean all of the countries of the world that have this capability. They will spy on their friends as well. You know, anything to just get ahead.
I think if you own the tech and have for want of a better phrase, you know, a way of accessing the back doors to look at populations, then it's something that clearly has a very useful benefit if you're inclined to be doing it.
Yeah, that's right. And be aware that all of the above applies to the mobile phone in your pocket, Julius.
Well, it's actually not in my pocket. We're talking on it right now.
So oh, right.
Are you not seeing me? Am I not coming through?
No, I'm not, but I'm pretty sure that somebody is.
Just one of us without clothes then tonight.
Exactly, yes.
Have a good weekend.
And you. All right, thanks a lot. I don't know why I'm giving the number out. It's too late. Sorry I couldn't get to all of your calls. Better luck next time. And as for the messages, the billions of messages that have come in, I'll try and get through those this evening when I return. If you missed any of today's show, listen back on Global Player or the new LBC app, both of which are free from your app store. And the thing to ask for is Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast, only on Global Player or the new LBC app. Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast. Coming up at 4, I'll be back at 10 tonight, by the way. At 4, it's James Hansen, but first, here's Tom Slater.
Thanks, Nick. On the programme this morning...
Let's stop making silly decisions of spending more on welfare. Let's put that money into defence. The world is becoming more dangerous.
Kemi Badenoch has pledged that a Conservative government would increase defence spending by reinstating the two-child benefit cap. Is it time to cut welfare to fund warfare? Plus...
One of the great successes of the Danish model has been the use of incentives. This government will now pilot a similar model for families who are failed asylum seekers.
Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood has said failed asylum seekers will be offered an increased incentive payment of £10,000 per person, up to £40,000 per family, to leave Britain. Is this the best use of taxpayers' money? Will it help smash the gangs? And... new government guidelines are telling companies to take masculine language out of job adverts. The Tories, for their part, have dismissed this as patronising gibberish. Is macho language making the workplace too hostile for women? Call me now.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock. Israel says it's continued to exchange fire with Iran tonight as its war against Tehran along with the US continues. Just before 10 p.m, the IDF warned it had identified a new attack before then going on to target more government infrastructure in Tehran. The Telegraph's acting defence editor, Tom Cottrell, is in Tel Aviv. He's been telling LBC Iranian attacks have been lessening over the last few days.
Wednesday was probably the most intense night that I experienced here. There were probably about a dozen or so missile alerts. You know, at one point it was, you know, I was down in the bunker, got the all clear sign, managed to get upstairs, and then another alert came through. So things certainly reached a peak, I think, on Wednesday and then started to slow down.
The UK's disclosed it has facilities operating in Ukraine which repair equipment being used in the war against Russia. The four sites have been set up using British and Ukrainian workers and operate under contracts issued by the Ministry of Defence. It's believed the life support machine of the Soham killer, Ian Huntley, has been turned off. The 52-year-old was left with severe brain trauma following an attack in prison last month. LBC's Northeast reporter is Phoebe Arbret-Zazy.
According to The Sun, doctors withdrew the life support machine on Friday afternoon after tests showed the murderer was in a vegetative state. Huntley's serving a life sentence with a minimum term of 40 years for the 2002 murders of 10-year-old schoolgirls Holly Wells and Jessica Chapman. He's been the target of previous attacks while behind bars in 2010. He suffered a serious neck wound after another inmate slashed him with a homemade weapon.
A man is due in court later on today, charged with manslaughter after the death of a woman 6 years ago. An inquest has ruled 36-year-old Gillian Morand took her own life in southeast London. The 45-year-old from Sidcup is also charged with coercive or controlling behaviour. The price of stamps will rise again next month. It means the cost of sending a first-class letter will reach £1.80. And in sport, Liverpool are into the FA Cup quarter-finals thanks to a 3-1 victory at Wolves. In the Championship, Oxford have claimed a 3-1 win at Preston.